We're back, live and local, on the Power Trip.
I would never do something like that. First of all, I have a girlfriend who I love very much.
Her name is?
Michelle.
Michelle. What's she look like?
She's, super tall.
So this is a mortuary, not a rental house.
We're scattering the f***ing ashes, but just because we're bereaved doesn't make us sad.
The reason that the girls liked me was... Hey now, I'm all around you. Hey now, up on your heart I can sing through you. And I play and I sing. And they say, hey man, you got soul in that music. And I said, yeah, I play a little bit, you know.
Listen up, the ratings just came in for last month. We are number one. We just grabbed every key demographic.
Super duper, gang.
Yeah.
Super duper.
That's nice. Way to go. Neato, gang.
Yes.
Boy, that is good news.
No nobbies, no probbies.
Put these guys in pressure situations in team, and then on the side when we do all the charting, because quite honestly, they have to be, one's got to be more consistent than the other. One's got to be, do what we ask them to do on kickoffs better than the other. And you know, it was a very good competition in the spring. Both guys showed up and did a great job. And, you know, I think, you know, Daniels is as advertised. He's very strong. He's a very good kickoff guy. He's got some work to do, being a little bit more consistent with his field goals. And I thought Kai had...
There are so many big things happening right now. Like, the environment is in terrible shape. And most people pretend that they care about it. I don't believe anyone actually does. If anyone actually cared about the environment, there's no way fountains would still exist. Fountains are a real big f*** you to thirsty people. Imagine bringing a little kid from a third world country to see a fountain. He'd be like, look at all the water. Can I have a sip? And you'd have to be like, oh, no, that's for decoration. Well, can I at least grab the money out of it? No, those are wishes that were thrown there by people that can afford to throw money. And you know what they didn't wish for? Water. Now, come on, I'm going to show you a water park. That's where the water's for peeing in.
Yes, I'm married. I shouldn't say, it's not politically correct to say the word married anymore, so I apologize. I'm sorry. I'm not married. I am sexually impaired. Being impaired, you know, it is like having a disability, except instead of being able to park anywhere, you only get one spot to park in. And on most nights, there's no parking allowed. That's the difference between single guys and married guys, right? Single guys, they just go around looking for a spot. Right? Single guys just want some overnight parking. Sometimes they'll take the first spot they see. Sometimes they will circle the block looking for a better spot. They will even approach a spot that's taken and be like, are you leaving? Are you going? That's single guys. Married guys, we have a spot. And it's our own legal spot. But there are all sorts of parking restrictions. Oh, yeah, you got to read the signs on her face every night, like... Can I park here tonight? This can be okay. What's it say? No park Monday to Thursdays, 8 p.m. to midnight, except weekends, holidays, anniversaries. Yeah, I'm not going to risk it. I'm not going to.
Morning show, Monday, July 30th of 2018. Good morning, everybody. I'm Corey Cove. There's Chris Hockey. Hi, Chris.
Hey. Hi.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, babe. It's
Paul Lambert. We're the Power Trip Morning Show. We're with you until 9 o'clock. Terrible news for you two.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
What happened?
An Arkansas woman was arrested Saturday after telling police that she shot and killed her husband because he bought pornography.
Wait, what an idiot.
I know. Why would he pay for it?
Why buy pornography?
Who buys porn?
What?
What a maniac.
An idiot.
That's just dumb.
I mean, sure, she shouldn't have killed him, but the biggest offender here is a guy who buys porn.
Yeah.
Well, he's 65 years old. Maybe he doesn't understand that internet pornography exists, but 69-year-old Patricia Hill told dispatchers that, I just shot and apparently killed my husband. They had a little disagreement about pornography because she noticed that he had purchased video pornography via the TV guide. You know, the whole, like, on-demand porn.
Yeah.
Which she canceled upon discovering the purchase. And then she confronted him in a shed in the backyard, and he's like, come on, get over it.
Why do you have that look on your face?
Come on, man. And she went back to the house, got a .22 caliber pistol, and shot him twice, and he's dead now. So I don't believe he got to see the film, is now not able to breathe.
Man,
he's dead.
Can I go back to the beginning?
Sure.
You said he's 65.
He is 65,
and there's maybe a chance he doesn't know internet porn exists. Mm-hmm. How old's Mark Rosen?
He's got to be high 60s.
Do you think he knows internet porn exists?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
But he also seems like the kind of guy that would download it via the TV guide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
Rosen would do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know people still did that.
Yeah, hotels.
Yeah, but it's free.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes, and I think I speak for my client over there, sometimes
it's all about aspect ratio.
Yeah,
you want a full 50-inch television as opposed to your smartphone.
Right. If somebody else is paying for it, who cares?
Yeah. And maybe like his phone was dead.
Yeah. Maybe it was,
Well, now he's dead.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was a film he hadn't seen before, and he couldn't find the full version on his phone, so he just decided, I'm going to pay $15.99 for 48 hours of this.
Yeah, and you know what? If she's so angry about him watching porn that she kills him, he's better off dead.
Yeah, correct.
You know
what? Well said.
You know what I mean? If she's so tied up in this life that she can't allow her man to watch a little bangy-bangy time...
Right.
Then he's better off in heaven where all porn is free.
Yeah, and now she's going to spend the rest of her life in jail.
Right, getting what she likes.
Police have already said there's no evidence in any... Right, there's no evidence in any way, shape, or form that has this as self-defense. This is just...
Right.
She shot him because she was mad about the porn.
Rage.
Which is, by the way, her side of the story. I think she was looking for a little bit... Like, I can't blame you there, lady.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I had to shoot him. He was downloading pornography. So he's dead, and she's going to prison.
Now, if he's downloading illegal pornography, shoot him.
Well, that's different.
But if he's just downloading regular, like, Butt Rammer 7, just let it be.
Wait, when I was?
Yeah,
they made a 7th?
Yeah. Have you seen 6?
Well,
to completion?
How in the hell? Why does where's Mr. Z on that one?
Yeah, where's he on Butt Rammer 7?
Honestly, that's one of the worst parts about Hollywood is that franchise has been dead since, like, the third one.
I know.
But they just keep turning them out
because
they're getting so lazy.
I don't know why we've never thought of this before, but if we've got a Mr. Z, we need a Mr. X who comes on and reviews filthy shows.
We have two of them on the show 5 days a week.
I know, hold on.
And a third that joins every Friday morning. Yeah.
Is Mr. X calling? Oh, no.
Oh, no. I think we got the bat signal up. Good morning, Power Trip Morning Show. Mr. X, you can follow him on Twitter, at Mr. X Movies, if you want to talk about... pornographic box office and so on and so forth. You can argue numbers with Mr. X on Twitter. Good afternoon / good morning / good night. What time is it now? 5:40.
We don't know where he is.
Well, it's probably morning.
Yeah,
he sounds tired. Good morning, Mr. X.
California.
Hey,
Mr. X. What are you watching?
Right now, I'm just doing a little maintenance around here, cleaning up, doing taking care of some business.
Hmm. At your house or at the office?
I'm at the office. I have an office.
Oh yeah,
in your house or?
I can't just watch it anywhere. I mean, this is not something. I mean, you guys think I just sit around watching porn, but this is a real job for me, man. It's a real thing for me.
Mr. X sounds a little bit like Tom Arnold.
I was just
Yeah. I just I watched Pirate some films. I've been watching some films. I wanted to review a couple.
Yeah, what's
for you.
New?
A brand new one come out just called American Booty.
Yeah.
I want to give that two thumbs up. Not too bad. Can I tell you about another one if you don't mind?
Of course.
A new one just came out starring Caitlin Ashley. It's a brand new movie called Ass Ventura, Crack Detective. I'm gonna give that. I'm gonna give that 9 out of 10 stars.
I don't think that's new. I think that's an old, an oldie but a goodie.
You rank them by stars?
This is the first time you've seen it?
Yeah, it's the first time I've seen it. I'm just reviewing here.
Oh, okay.
I do. This is what I do. They don't have to necessarily be new to everybody. They're new to me.
Gotcha.
Oh. Have you seen Eva Jelena and Haley Page in The Da Vinci Load?
No, but I'm familiar with both of them.
Yeah, okay, cool. What about, do you guys like scary films at all?
Yes, sometimes.
I'm not really into horror films.
You're not into horror films? Well, no. You might not like this one, but you say you like it, Meat Sauce?
Yeah, how'd you know my name?
I'm a big fan, first-time caller.
Oh, thank you.
I'm Mr. X. Have you guys seen Evil Head?
Evil Head?
What's that? Yeah, it's a horror film. It's, what about, oh, you know what you always liked, Corey?
What's that?
You liked Dawson's Creek. Have you seen Dawson's Crack?
No, I haven't seen it.
You might want to skip that one. It's not as good as you'd think. It's
bad plot.
Yeah, not as great. Whoa, you know what, Sauce?
Yeah, babe.
You're a big fan of that one guy who was in the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen Edward Penishands?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, I give it 10 out of 10.
You gave it a 10 out of 10. What do you think it'll make in the box office?
I can't answer that question. There's no box office.
How'd you get your job?
Can I tell you one more, if you don't mind?
Of course.
I review movies. I review dirty movies. You guys have talked to my cousin, Mr. Z.
Yeah, he's...
Oh, your cousin.
Wait, he's my cousin.
You're related to him?
Yeah, we're cousins, yeah. Yeah, it's a family business. He reviews movies. I review dirty movies. Have you guys seen the movie? Here's one I really highly recommend. You guys have a pen?
Yeah.
Make sure you write this one down.
Go ahead.
You guys have seen the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids franchise, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Have you seen that? Have you seen that, Corey? You're a big fan, right?
Love it. Rick Moranis.
Yeah, have you seen Rosalie Ising and Honey, I Blew Everybody?
Thanks, Mr. X. Appreciate it.
What's that about? Hey, Mr. X, tell your coworker in the background to stop laughing. I think I've seen that movie.
Mr. X slightly broke character at the end.
Yeah, it's okay. He's stoned. Do you have any more?
It was a real solid character.
You had me until. You had me until the last part. You got any more?
No, I'll call you guys again sometime.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Hey, there is a movie coming out. I think you guys might want to look forward to it at some point, though.
Okay, go ahead.
You know what? I'm just going to end on that one.
No!
You know what? No, it's okay.
Willow?
No. Yeah, I saw a trailer. I want you guys to see. Make sure you keep an eye out for this.
Maybe
keep an eye out for the trailer. You guys remember the Quentin Tarantino movie? I don't know if it's Quentin, actually, now that I think about it. It was Kill Bill. Remember the movie Big Toe?
Yeah.
You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Here's one you might want to keep an eye out for, Corey. It's called Drill Bill.
Damn it, I knew it's hockey now.
There goes Mr. X.
Wow.
But it was definitely Tarantino.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Drill Bill. I blew everyone.
Oh, wait.
Oh, he's gone back? Oh. Man.
Yeah. No, I just saw another. This is Mr. X calling. I just saw
Thanks for calling back.
What do you do, Mr. X?
I review, you guys know Mr. Z, he's my cousin.
Yeah.
He reviews movies. I review filthy movies. You guys a fan of Sacha Baron Cohen movies?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to keep an eye out for Horat. Brand new one coming up.
Horat. Who's in that?
You guys want to hear one of the worst movie titles I've ever read?
Sure.
For a Triple X movie. In Rear End and Stay.
What?
Say that again?
In Rear End and Stay. It's just the best they could do with Independence Day, I guess.
Gee, I didn't even get it. It was so random. All right. Yeah, that's not the best title.
Would you like to hear one that this may be a little out of your network, if you know what I mean? But
sure.
This is for people who like ladies who feature all the possible tools. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They may have that, and they have this too.
An extra part, sure.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Inspect her gadget.
Yeah. Classic.
Yeah, you might want to see that. I don't know if it's a classic or not. I haven't seen it yet.
I think you found another one.
Did I tell you one more?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, this might be something, Corey, that you like, and I'll go ahead and send you I'm going to send you a screener copy of this one.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Now, you guys are big fans of Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't you guys seem to like Indiana Jones? Yeah, right? You might want to check out Raiders of the Lost Arse.
I like that guy. Yeah, he's
got a good sense of humor about his own career.
He does.
Really, really does.
How's this? Does this look? He just sent me the screener copy.
Hold on.
Does that do anything for you? Does that do anything for you? Screener copy from
Simon Cox is in it.
Who? What did he say?
Simon.
See, but again, that's based on that the cover of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's another problem again with Hollywood is, can't they cast some females?
You would think.
They have to give the guys all of the jobs?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what? You're so right.
Why are you still looking at it?
Holy moly. This is brilliant.
Is he calling back?
No. I can't say this one on the air.
Let's see.
What is it?
Night.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Yeah. My wife's never seen that one.
Oh, wow. I watched that film.
Yeah. Man, some of these they don't even try, but some of them are damn funny. Woo. Anyway.
Yeah. In Rear Endance Day is pretty bad.
That's just lazy.
Anyway.
All right. Front page sports of the Power Trip
Morning
Show returns. We have, of course, Vikings training camp to discuss. Sauce, I know you were there on Saturday, and that was your first shot at TCO as well. We can talk about that.
Yeah.
Ben Lieber joins about an hour from now. This is the Power Trip Morning Show on the Fan.
Got a box full of letters.
You're listening to the Fan.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is July 30th, 5:58 in the morning. A little chilly out there this week. It'll get warmer, though, it'll be in the 80s.
Just in time for your favorite thing of the entire year, the Minnesota State Fair.
We still got some time.
Yeah, it's closer than you think, though.
I know.
Man, it's football season, though.
It really is.
It's the best. I'm going today. Ernie, are you guys going? Hawk? Are you going?
I might go by today, yeah.
I'm going to go for the afternoon bit. First day in full pads.
It certainly is not a easy decision anymore because it's a lot farther than it was. You know what I mean?
Unless you live in Mankato.
That's true.
But Mankato's saying it was a hop, skip, and a jump away, and now it is really far away, but for the rest of it, it's very, very close.
Yeah.
Much, much shorter drive to Eagan.
I'll probably go to your spot afterwards.
I'm going to be there today from 3 to 5.
Are you really?
Union 32.
Oh, yeah. Is that today?
I'll be there from 3 to 5.
What time will that be?
3 p.m. to 5 p.m.
All right, I probably will.
Love that spot.
Yeah. They got good food.
Come say hi.
Yeah.
People who buy things are suckers.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Hockey.
Hi. I like buying stuff.
I do. I'm good at it.
I bought a lot of stuff.
Such as? More $90 shorts?
Yeah, and then some guy at... Well, I had two of my favorite encounters that I love twice this weekend, but one of them was, he's like, those aren't $90 shorts. I'm like, yes, they are. Then I even went as far as looking them up and showing him. He's like, well, that's a waste of money. I'm like, thanks, Corey Cove Sr.
Why would you even talk to somebody like
that? My dad?
That's all people do, though, now. It's just like, rip on me. Then the one lady...
It's fun, though. But I get paid to do it. Don't know you.
Yeah.
This one lady one
came up to me. He's like, I love your wife. I'm like, I'm not married anymore. She's like, yes, you are. I'm like, no, I'm not. And then she kept going. I'm like, I'm not married. And then she goes, I knew that was made up. I'm like,
thought it was a radio bit?
Yeah, she thought it was a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, nice to see you too, Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah. People are weird.
Yeah, like, sorry. Like, I'm just minding my own business. Can't a guy just walk around Sex World by himself? It's not where I was. That's weird.
That would have been cool if you were.
Yeah. I think I saw our last guest there.
He's so, working.
One of our listeners just sent me this, so I'm reading this during the break. Oh, kind of blown away.
Oh, God.
Part of this you can't make up, and then part of this is just too good to be true. This is on Mashable.com. Mm-hmm. In Virginia... Democratic candidate Leslie Cockburn. I knew you would laugh there, but that's apparently this person's actual name.
All right.
And her Republican opponent, Denver Riggleman. Two great names, right? Leslie Cockburn versus Denver Riggleman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're vying for votes in the upcoming midterm elections. Last month, Cockburn criticized Riggleman for campaigning alongside controversial Republican candidate Corey Stewart, who's been accused of courting white nationalists over the past few years. By the way, if you think this is just going to be political and you're like, oh, God, the Power Trip's talking politics. Trust me, this is not political. In 10 seconds, you'll see why we brought it up. So that's what they're fighting over in general. But then Cockburn's latest barb against her opponent has nothing to do with the far right, but rather the far-fetched, as Mashable writes. Cockburn accused Riggleman of having an alleged penchant for Bigfoot erotica.
Oh, my God.
And then sent a screenshot from what appears to be his Instagram profile, which was tweeted by her, with the quote, "This is not what we need on Capitol Hill." And it's a sketched photo of Bigfoot with a very prominent but censored genitalia. So apparently, she's basically saying, I don't even care if this guy's a white nationalist. He likes Bigfoot porn. I mean, she's probably saying, I also care about the white nationalist thing, but we can't have Bigfoot porn guy in the...
Wow.
Oh, yeah, we can. And by the way, if you think that this guy is the only guy in Congress or Senate or any kind of, you know, government position that's into weird stuff, come on.
That's a giant Bigfoot dog.
Well, it's Bigfoot.
Well, I mean, you would
think just on scale alone, he would probably be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I mean, you know what they say about a guy with big feet.
Yeah.
Some of these pictures are hilarious.
Hawk, do I have your permission to go to one of our favorite websites and put in Bigfoot?
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, it's work, right?
Yeah, it's work, yeah.
Okay. Xvideos.com. Okay.
You go ahead.
There's got to be some, right?
Okay, Bigfoot.
Did you spell it wrong?
No.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep, that's Bigfoot, all right.
Well, and by the way, the guy that just sent me that tweet a couple minutes ago just tweeted back at us and said that Leslie Cockburn is Olivia Wilde's mom.
Oh.
Is that right?
This is taking some weird twists.
By the way, Bigfoot porn does exist.
So the headline could be Olivia Wilde's mother is accusing her opponent of liking Bigfoot porn.
What's her first name?
Leslie.
What's her last name?
Cockburn.
Okay.
Which is weird because Leslie Cockburn or Leslie Wilde both sound like porn star names.
Yeah.
Olivia Cockburn?
Yeah.
I guess that's what it could have been.
Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, maybe. Good point. Maybe.
Yeah.
Unless one of them remarried or whatever. Who knows?
Andrew Cockburn is her husband. Claude Cockburn is her father-in-law.
Yeah. Are there more?
Alexander Cockburn is her brother-in-law.
Yeah, her name is Olivia Jane Cockburn.
That's her real name?
Yep.
Why'd she change it?
What are other siblings' names?
That's a terrible name.
Her grandma was called Manma. It's an old school name, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can hardly believe it when I heard the news today. It took Sauce 6 seconds to get that joke, but it finally hit him and he liked it.
Well played.
The Red Sox won 3-0 over the Minnesota Twins. The Twins had just 4 hits. Barrios, 4 2/3, 9 hits, 3 runs, 6 strikeouts. Look it up on your phone. J.D. Martinez, all 3 RBI for the Red Sox. He went 2-for-4. That brings his total to 89. That leads the majors for RBI. Boston's just 18-4 in their last 22 games, and they won 3 out of 4 against the Twins this weekend. They're a Major League best 74-33. Up next, Indians at Twins, 7 o'clock tonight, Justin Bieber versus Carlos Santana.
Sweet. I might go to that, too.
Over the weekend, the Twins traded Eduardo Escobar and Ryan Pressly. Mm. And Sano got called up.
Man, this lady's really impressive.
But Bieber versus Santana tonight. Who do you favor, Bieber or Santana?
Oh, Bieber. I like Bieber's music better.
Santana's a hell of a guitar player.
Yeah, but that one song with Rob Thomas got so overplayed.
Smooth.
Oh, great point.
But wait a minute. You can't reference the exact song that I just referenced.
I meant smooth, like smooth up in you. Oh.
That is a great point.
Yeah, it's a great point.
Song sucks.
No. This should be Mr. X's intro music.
I got to tell you, Olivia Wilde's mom is impressive as hell.
Good-looking gal or impressive on paper?
What she's done with her life.
Hmm.
She was a former investigative journalist for NBC, CBS, and PBS Frontline. She got a one-on-one interview with Muammar Gaddafi.
Mm-hmm.
Covered 6 wars, including Nicaragua. Man, she's the real deal.
Well, then I'll say this, though, about her opponent, Denver Riggleman. I don't even really care if Denver Riggleman is into Bigfoot porn. Right? That's irrelevant.
Right.
If he's posting a bunch of it, that's different. Yeah, right. If he's just into it.
Hawks into old people porn.
Right. You can like what you like.
Here's what
consenting I want. Adult, if some dude wants to dress up as Bigfoot and get it on, he has every right to do that.
That's the thing. I mean, are we sure the Bigfoot posted there is of legal age for Bigfoots?
Yeah,
that's. I have no idea how to tell.
I have no way of knowing.
Right, because do big feet live to be 900 years old?
Or I don't know.
Or do they live to be like 7 years old, but reach sexual maturity at 6 or something?
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Well said.
Thank you. I don't know if it was.
No, he said it. You said it well.
Yeah, over the weekend, Clancy Barone and Andrew Janoco were named co-offensive line coaches, and Todd Downing will coach the tight ends for the Minnesota Vikings. So they went and stayed in-house with a couple of, assistant coaches, right? They moved Clancy Barone over from looking at the tight ends to looking at offensive line. And then Andrew Janoco, who was already assistant offensive line coach under Tony Sparano, is now co-offensive line coach with Clancy Barone.
Yeah, I was there on Saturday when they announced that.
Good. So, your first chance to take a look at TCO. There's no way to explain it to anybody.
You can't explain it. It's surreal. I mean, it's amazing how cool that place is. They have every amenity you could possibly think of. That stadium where the night practice is going to be this Saturday from 7 to 9:30 is out of this world. It's the coolest spot. It's like football Disneyland.
Yep.
It's amazing. That's all I have.
He's right.
Great story.
Pretty awesome.
Mylie Moore over the weekend won WNBA All-Star MVP for just the 3rd straight year. She had 18 points.
Good for her. That was here, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Sweet.
Okay. Back to the Vikings for a second. Ian Rappaport over the weekend reported that the Vikings did reach out to Mike Tice to talk about coaching the offensive line, but, quote, couldn't get it worked out. Huh. Tice said he was retiring from coaching back in February. He's been the offensive line coach for 4 different teams. So whether or not they couldn't agree on terms, whether or not he couldn't be talked out of retirement, who knows? But it, quote, couldn't get worked out, according to Ian Rappaport.
I find that interesting.
Yeah.
I do, too.
Yeah. Hmm. What's the last team he worked for? Was it Seattle or Chicago?
I think it might have been Oakland, even.
Oakland? Oh, look. Yeah, maybe you're right.
Didn't he rip the Raiders for not wanting to be coached? And he basically said kids in general now just don't want to be coached.
Yeah, he's right.
He probably is partially right.
Yeah, you are right. Raiders.
Oh.
Mike Prefer, also over the weekend, this is just kind of like a weekend wrap-up, apparently. Prefer, special teams coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings, said, for now, Marcus Sherrills is going to handle the punts. Mike Hughes is going to handle kickoffs.
Yep.
Sweet.
He also talked about the kicker competition.
I think we played that already.
Yeah, we didn't mean to, but we did.
Don't understand why that happened. That was a weird way to start.
Dragged the wrong thing.
Way to go.
Sorry, Daddy.
Yeah, we'll play you the audio later, but basically said exactly what you thought. It's going to be right down to the wire, ladies and gentlemen.
For kicking.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's not true.
That's not true.
Daniel Carlson's going to win the job. I think Forbath already knows it.
Yeah.
Unless there's an injury, right? Unless Daniel Carlson gets hurt. You don't draft a kicker in the fifth round and then cut him.
Right.
Absolutely not.
We'll see.
That's just coach speak.
And hasn't everyone said that he's wowing everyone, that he's just bombing it?
He did mention that he's got a big old leg.
Uh-oh.
Everything that is
My sources say he's phenomenal.
Did you watch practice at all, or did you just go run hang around?
I watched the walkthrough. And
we're talking about practice.
But I didn't stay for the last part.
We're talking about practice.
I often find myself down there just talking to people and realize that I missed the whole practice.
Yeah.
I'm like the team on Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
Damn it, we forgot to practice. John Gettleman, great coach.
Great coach.
Yeah, you can only get in with tickets, so Vikings.com for tickets to get in.
Yeah, yeah.
I made that mistake on Saturday, basically just saying that everybody come one, come all, and Abbott's like, no. That's how it works.
I think everybody knew that.
Which also means that Sauce hasn't been listening for about the last, 6 to 12 months.
Or it turned on the TV.
Right.
Well, no, I get excited, so I just start going.
Right.
So you were broadcasting from there?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Thanks for listening.
No, I don't listen.
I wouldn't either.
I mean, come on.
But yeah, it was sweet.
Good for you.
I'm excited to go back today.
I'm glad.
Watch full padded practice, because there was nothing better in high school than your first full pad practice.
Yeah, I agree.
But then I have to hang out with you for a little bit too, it sounds like, or what, potentially?
Well, I don't have to show up there.
Well, it's up to you. I mean,
you don't sound excited.
I mean, I'm not, but I mean, if you're going to be there, just swing by, I guess.
You're going to run away from me?
No.
There's food.
Oh, then I will go.
Good point, yeah.
But practice is 2:45 to 5. If I end up hanging out with you, I'll just stand there the whole time.
That is a problem.
And they have an NBA Jam game.
They do.
Baseball's non-waiver trade deadline is tomorrow. Brian Dozier, Lance Lynn, and Zach Duke are all reportedly on the block because all three are about to be free agents, and sounds like the Twins have no interest in keeping them long-term.
Man.
So Dozier, Lynn, and Duke reportedly on the block. But as we know... As we know, you can trade somebody in baseball way beyond the non-waiver trade deadline. You can actually trade them in the ninth inning of Game 7 of the World Series. You can actually have them swap teams.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can basically do whatever you want.
Yeah, that's right.
But the non-waiver trade deadline is tomorrow.
Let's hope Dozier isn't gone, because I want to see him play on Friday for Meat Sports Day.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, is that Friday?
Is that Friday?
Oh, really?
And
you know, the invite.
You know it's tomorrow.
You may be invited.
You know it's tomorrow.
No interest.
U.S. Bank Stadium, International Champions Cup. We have a huge star of the soccer world stopping by in person today. Ledley King is a former great for the Tottenham Hotspurs. He's going to come by the studio and say hi to us as he continues to make the rounds as a goodwill ambassador for soccer.
Damn it. I thought you were going to say Martha from Ladybugs.
Yeah, I did too.
No? Well, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, Jonathan Brandis is dead.
Yeah, no, I know.
If somebody just dressed like Martha.
Yeah.
And just kicktheballs.com all over the place, that would be great.
His former manager, Harry Redknapp, once said that Ledley King was an absolute freak. So, I don't know. I mean, I got to look a little deeper into
that. Bigfoot porn?
That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure. I don't know what that means.
I don't read it.
More of the Power Trip Morning Show right after this on The Fan. Yeah, I
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. 619, well, 620. The wrestling world had a rough weekend.
Yeah, two very different reasons, right?
Yeah. That, of course, the voice of Nikolai Volkov. Of course, the tag team partner of the Iron Sheik, one of the greatest villains in the WWE history, passed away at the age of 70 yesterday. I remember the Iron Sheik, Nikolai Volkov.
Yeah.
Tag team. That was a pretty good one. Right?
Yeah. The Iron Sheik on that one radio show was really good, too, especially when he calls beat.
Yeah.
I don't have a really clear memory of Volkov, but I clearly remember Iron Sheik, and I remember him tag team wrestling, so I just...
Yeah.
I just can't picture Volkov, though, but...
Neither can I.
I guess he was a big deal.
Yeah, he was a big deal. He died. The other guy was a guy who used to be called Grandmaster Sexy. He was part of the tag team Too Cool with his partner Scotty Too Hottie.
Oh, yeah.
Any of that ring a bell for any of you?
That Lawler's kid?
Yeah, that's right. He was the son of wrestling legend Jerry the King Lawler. And he was with him when he died. He was behind bars, and he hung himself in prison after a DUI arrest earlier this month. So his name was Brian Christopher. He was the son of wrestling legend Jerry the King Lawler.
That's depressing. Why did you bring that up?
I know, but a lot of wrestling fans in the audience out there.
Yeah. Boy.
Yeah.
Can we completely change subjects?
I would really enjoy
lighten it up a little bit.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah.
Anybody see Mission Impossible?
No, did you?
Fallout? I did not.
Nope.
Easily number one at the box office over the weekend, $61.5 million. Apparently, that is Tom Cruise's second best opening of all time after War of the Worlds, which was a terrible film.
I loved that movie.
That sucked
I
so
really
hard.
Did. Yeah, that's that not movie a joke. Was bad. I loved that movie.
Oh, it was bad. $64.9 million in its first weekend for War of the Worlds. So this was just behind it. Easily beating Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again with just $15 million. So Mission Impossible. Again, rave reviews over the weekend. What, 98% as of Friday? I haven't seen what it's at now, but... 98% on Rotten Tomatoes and a pretty good box office number for our guy Tom Cruise. And it's a great excuse to play Limp Bizkit.
Hell yeah.
I don't get the... Is this a song called Mission Impossible?
No, that's the Mission Impossible theme song. You don't know this bit? That's the Mission Impossible bass line. They're just rapping over the Mission Impossible theme song. And then, of course, because Wes Borland kicks ass, they rock the hell out of it in about 30 seconds.
Right. And naturally, the lyrics are horrific.
Who cares? It rocks. How do you not like the Mission Impossible bit? All right, here we go. This is worth it. I've seen him play this live. It kicks ass. I know
why you
want to
hate me. Why do you want to hate him? I know why you want to hate me. I know why you want to hate me. I know why you want to hate me. Because hate is all the world has even seen lately. What?
They should have put that in the movie. Then that 61.5 would have been way, way higher.
That song wills.
Yeah.
Lyrics are
that's kind of, yeah.
Yeah, the lyrics are terrible.
As always.
The music's sweet.
Always rocks, always dumb lyrics. But I still think Fred would be fun to hang out with.
Really?
I bet he's a total.
For real?
Total good time.
You think, really?
I bet he's funny. You know? I don't know.
I doubt that.
See, based on his lyrics, he has some rage issues.
We should play more of it.
Yeah,
great point.
I mean, rage is a great point.
Oh, well.
What's wrong with rage?
I mean, they're great, but I'd rather hear some Limp.
What?
What?
Break stuff?
I mean, I love Limp Bizkit, but not even remotely close over rage.
Yeah.
Because rage is actually, what's that word? Good?
Yeah.
don't know. I want to see it. Again, I haven't seen the last handful of Mission Impossible films, but now I'm excited to see this one.
Yeah, I'll see it.
Yeah, well, we go.
Yeah, I'll watch a little bit.
Hockey and I go today, but we're going to training camp.
Okay.
Well, we are.
I know. I believe you.
Doesn't sound like. Yeah.
What it is. Meow, meow.
So, can we go back a segment?
Yeah.
No.
Meat Swords Day is apparently Friday.
That's what I heard. Yeah. Yep.
The meat part of Meat Swords is Meat Sauce Paul Lambert.
Yes.
I'm aware of that. Yeah.
So, that's you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're going to the Twins game on Friday.
Yeah.
The Swords part of Meat Swords Day is Nick Swardson.
Yeah.
Is he going on Friday?
Yeah.
He is?
100%.
Yeah.
What about Kyle Rudolph, who was there last year at Meat Swords?
He is practiced.
Okay, so Kyle can't go. Okay. Mm-hmm. What about Josh Duhamel, who was a part of it last year?
I think he's coming.
What?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think it's 50-50.
Really?
50-50 on Duhamel.
I like those odds.
Yeah.
So 100% on you. Well, yep. We can't say 100 because maybe you get like explosive diarrhea. So 99% for you.
I'll be there.
Oh, you don't know that.
Across the street.
Yeah, you don't know that.
In a palatial penthouse apartment.
You can't guarantee that. It's 4 days away.
Yeah, I can't guarantee
anything. Overwhelmingly likely you will be there.
Right.
Yeah.
Feel pretty good again.
Put a percentage on Swardson.
99.
Put a percentage on Duhamel.
50.
God, I was just hoping you changed the number. I had to ask just in case you said like 30. Oh. But 50 is the right answer according to you 30 seconds ago. What about Jason Zucker?
100.
What?
100. Jason's in.
Yeah.
100?
What about Mark Parrish?
He's out of town.
Pear Bear's out?
Yep.
Is he not playing initials on Friday then either?
I think he leaves after that.
Okay. What about Kevin McDermott?
Practice.
So all Vikings players are out. What about past Vikings players like John Randall?
He doesn't return my calls.
Okay.
Aw. What about Chunk Greenway?
Who's Chunk Greenway?
We're talking about practice.
Yeah, maybe. I'll ask
Chunk
him.
Chunk Greenway, the guy that did the truffle shuffle at the 50-yard line.
That's a great point. I'll text him today.
You should.
Towns, I think, is in L.A., so he's out.
The Big Cat wouldn't have gone to Meat Swords Day.
Yes, he would have.
Big Cat has no interest in Meat Swords Day. No.
Could you have the breaking news?
He was going to play golf with me on Friday, but he was in L.A.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure he was.
You guys are just
ladies
jealous.
And gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
Well, again, friends. Neither one of us got invited.
Neither one of us played the cello either.
Neither of you would go.
Did you just say both of us are cellists?
Yeah, you're cellists.
Really?
You're jealous.
Oh.
I'm not jealous. I have no interest in going.
No.
It's just weird that I never get the invite.
Do you want to go?
No, like you said, I have no interest in going to that.
I'd rather eat bad chicken.
Whoa. Oh, I thought you were going to say bad.
Get diarrhea and vomit at the same time. Have to sit in the bathtub all night and play golf with anybody.
Just because you had one bad experience. What was I going to say?
I don't know, but I hit the breaking news sounder because Chris has something. Unless you just wanted to stall.
I just want to talk.
Perfect. Just wait.
A journalist from Mel Magazine just wrote about a phenomenon that she calls summer penis.
That's a terrible name.
Oh, summer here, summer there?
Sort of. Apparently, guys' things look look bigger in warm weather.
Well, I'm moving to the equator.
The writer talked to urologists who confirmed it's a real deal. The blood vessels down there expand a little bit in the summer to regulate heat. So,
that makes sense.
Your thing might just look a little larger than
that
you
makes
used
sense.
To.
So just in general, instead of just like a, cold pool, cold shower.
Shrinkage.
Yeah, the shrinkage factor made famous in Seinfeld. What this gal is saying is basically in the summer, you have more of a consistent advantage because you're consistently warm. Mm-hmm.
We're having a heat wave. That's what I would sing.
You would sing that?
Yeah.
To
hopefully make my crank rise.
Oh, so you're gonna fool it.
Yeah. Pretend that it's hot out.
Right. Oh.
Or just walk around with a small fan in my pants that is all hot air. And all of a sudden I'm like, hey, yo, look at this.
A hot air fan. One of those little hot air fans, that you can, those pocket hot air fans that just blow hot air right onto your crank.
I thought he just meant somebody who was a big fan of his, but just a small person.
You're the best, Paul.
I don't have any of those. Stop whistling down there. Yeah, it'd be sweet. If that was it. Where's the hottest place in America?
Death Valley.
I'd move there. And then would just sunbathe my crank. Just lay out. This is what I would do.
Who would see it?
Hey, what are you doing today? I'm on a suntan.
You just said sunbathe. I love that.
Like this.
Yeah, we get it. Spread eagle. Yeah. Yep. Maximum exposure for your genitals. We get it.
Look at
you. Yep.
Oh, look at you.
It's like you're the gyno.
I'd sit like this out in the heat.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pantsless, of course, right?
Yeah.
I guess, but technically it wouldn't even matter. As long as it's getting some heat. Now, if you're getting that heat, though, but then not showing anybody, what's the point?
Yeah, right.
The whole point is that it looks bigger. It looks bigger.
If this theory's true, I wouldn't have to wear pants because my crank would be so giant.
Summer crank.
Just because I think Paul's a little bit confused. This isn't like watering a plant. You're not going to gain inches.
Oh.
It just appears slightly bigger because of expansion.
Did you hear the new song from Seals and Croft?
No!
Yeah. Summer peed. I'm making me feel fine.
Can I stop sitting like this?
I don't know if
please
you can.
Please do.
See the curtains hanging in the window.
That's your penis.
You thought it was a curtain?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so impressed with myself. Thank you.
Well, it hangs in the heat.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Summer peen.
The old joke about how many studies are out there that are just absolute waste of time because everybody knows some of these things anyway.
Yeah.
I would have guessed exactly that. Yeah. I would have guessed that in general, they probably appear bigger in the summer.
Sure.
I didn't have to do a study on that.
It's the same with the other things that make you a boy as well.
Make you what?
Make you a boy.
Oh, sure. I was like, what now? I'm having a hard time like
comprehending.
My ears and my brains are my brain are not on the same page today. Because earlier when you said in rear endance day, I didn't even get it. Am I even hearing? I didn't know if I was mishearing you or if I didn't understand it.
Right.
And then I just thought you said... I thought you said like my boy,
yeah,
like, you know, one of your homeboys,
yeah.
And I was like, "What? Which one of your boy? Oh, your testicles. Got it.
Testes. Yeah, because they, you know, swing low.
Sweet Chariot. Spaceballs, great film.
It is.
Sauce doesn't care for
it. Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Really?
Yeah, I just don't like it.
Well, you don't have to.
Oh, thank you.
Did you watch episode 3 of Who Is America last night?
No, I did not. Did you?
It was the worst of the three, but the Roy Moore bit was unbelievable.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, him?
I can't that wait.
Guy? Oh, boy.
I can't wait.
That was pretty incredible.
I can't wait.
Didn't really get him to say anything. Well, I shouldn't say that. He got him to say something pretty stupid in the beginning, but then really just punked him with a magnetic wand. You know, like a security wand that detects pedophiles.
Oh.
And waved it in front of him and kept having it beep.
Oh, my God, really? Ooh.
Just like brilliant.
The bit in The Office?
Yeah, like the Gator bit?
Yeah, the Gator.
Basically,
yeah.
Is he convinced them that there's Israeli technology that can detect pedophiles or rapists. And every time he waved it past Roy Moore, it beeped, and Sacha Baron Cohen's character would say, "Oh, this must be malfunctioning. This can't be right." And he would ask Roy Moore, "Is that somebody else's jacket?" And Roy's like, "No, this is my jacket. Something's wrong with this thing." And he kept beeping every time he waved it in front of him. It was great.
That's brilliant.
The super good.
So good.
What really matters is next. Scores and stats around the world of sports. In between, Chris Hockey will change your life. And then 25 minutes from now, Ben Lieber joins the Power Trip Morning Show right here on The Fan.
The Fan.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's 6:40 a.m. on July 30th. Tomorrow, the final day of July. How about that?
All the life she has seen, oh, the meanest side of me. They took away the prophet's dream
For a profit. All right, you ready?
For what?
I'm going to talk about some sports, and then you're going to say something interesting.
Well, do we have a name for this segment?
It's called What Really Matters. Oh. Scores and stats around the world of sports. Then Chris Hockey will change your life with something that has nothing to do with professional or amateur athletics.
Sweet.
Yeah, man.
See here, I already talked about that. I already talked about this. Let's go with this one. The Baseball Hall of Fame inductions were yesterday. Jack Morris went in, as did Jim Tomei, Alan Trammell, Vladimir Guerrero, Trevor Hoffman, and Chipper Jones.
Oh, good.
They're
for
in
them.
The Baseball Hall of Fame. I didn't watch a second of it.
Neither did I.
What really matters is this.
Well, all right then. A woman in England thought her 26-year-old husband was cheating on her. So she hired a private investigator, and he confirmed it. He caught the 26-year-old husband with his 72-year-old mistress.
Ooh.
Yes, sir!
Wait, say that again?
26-year-old gentleman?
Yeah.
His 72-year-old mistress.
That sounds like you.
What?
You into old ladies.
What?
Old lady
yeah.
porn.
Yeah, you into old ladies.
Yeah.
What?
What do you do if that's the case, right? Think about that. What a mind bleep.
Yeah.
It's, I think my boyfriend or husband or whatever it was, I think my boyfriend's cheating on me. I'm going to hire an investigator. What, when you find out that it's a 72-year-old woman, how do you even wrap your brain around that? Right? Would you be more upset or less upset if it was a 24-year-old gal?
Hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because you're probably more mad if it's 24, but you're probably just disgusted that it's a 72-year-old, right? It's like, not only is my boyfriend cheating or husband cheating, he's weird.
Yeah.
But he likes what he likes.
Right, but the gal's legitimately almost 3 times older.
I know, and that's what he likes.
He does like that, but that's weirder. If it was a 24-year-old gal, you'd go, all right, he's just kind of, you know, he's a womanizer. Right, Brittany?
Great point.
Good point, yeah. The Tour de France wrapped up over the weekend. Some bike rider some Welsh bike rider won. And apparently that has never happened. Four-time champ Chris Froome finished third, 2 minutes and 24 seconds behind. Guy's name is Geraint Thomas? G-E-R-A-I-N-T. Geraint?
I know that guy. He lives between the outhouse and the playhouse, right?
Yeah, he's Welsh.
Is he?
Hmm. Yep.
Oh. Where is Welsh?
It's Wales.
Where is Geraint?
I think where you said.
Mm-hmm.
What really matters is this.
Great point. Chipotle is giving away free guacamole tomorrow on National Guac Day. If you like guacamole.
Well, that was the whole story.
Yeah.
Hmm.
People like free stuff, man.
Yeah,
every day. Sweet. Is a national day for something.
Yeah, but you don't get free stuff every day, baby.
Well, I'm sure if you put a bunch of research into it, you probably could.
Sauce, your thoughts on guac?
I love guacamole. I like it better with chips. I rarely get it in my Chipotle, but yeah, it's phenomenal.
Hmm.
But I normally don't get it in my Chipotle.
What's your standard Chipotle order?
I get a... burrito bowl, no rice. I get the peppers and onions, half chicken, half steak.
Yep.
Cheese, lettuce, corn.
Yep.
Mild salsa, and a little bit of sour cream.
Augusto, sweetheart, save some room for later.
It's very good. I'd probably
love
get
me
that
some
today.
Chipotle right
yeah,
now.
I'd eat it right
really
now.
Really good. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hockey'd pay $40 for it.
Well, yeah, I probably would.
Yeah.
Probably would.
There should be a 24-hour Chipotle.
There probably will be at some point. The Red Sox won 3-0 over the Twins. They won 3 out of 4 against Minnesota over the weekend. Tonight, the Indians are in town at Target Field, 7 o'clock. Justin Bieber versus Carlos Santana.
Oh.
I don't care if other people don't think that's funny. I think the fact that Bieber and Santana are squaring off tonight is an awesome little matchup.
Yeah. Despacito, great point.
Right.
It's not.
What really matters is this.
Blockbuster teamed up with Enron in the year 2000 to create a service that would deliver movies on demand. Well, just like Netflix does today. It was an enormous failure.
They were onto something, though.
They were.
Yeah. They had the right idea.
The effort was there.
No, maybe the effort wasn't there. The idea was there.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know? Sometimes the idea is better than the execution.
Yeah, good point.
You know, a lot of TV shows like that, where you're like, what a great idea, but God, does this show suck?
Yeah.
Right? Now, clearly now, after two seasons, I can say, that's how I feel about Westworld, is that the idea is better than the show. Because the first season, I liked way more than Sauce did. But now that we're through two seasons, I'm bored.
Are the ratings in trouble?
Don't know, but HBO has spent a fortune on that show.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere.
Now, is the reason you guys don't like it is because I think Hawkey said you have no idea what's going on?
I'm just not having fun anymore. Again, now I'm not like intrigued by the twists and the turns. I don't. It's just the idea of robots becoming self-aware and having, again, basically a Jurassic Park of humans.
Yeah.
And you can just kill humans because they're robots and they don't know any better. And the fact that they start to learn what they are, I thought it was super intriguing. And the twists at the end of season one, I thought were super fun. I'm just not having fun with the twists in season two.
Huh?
But I still love the concept.
Yeah. Right?
The concept is very intriguing. Like, will we go down that rabbit hole at some point in human history? Right, we're already talking about bringing back woolly mammoths and things like that. AI is a huge problem, not Allen Iverson.
Let's practice.
Down the road, right? All of the futurists of the world are saying that we are going to have to deal with AI at some point, right?
Yeah, got to deal with them.
So that's going to be, I think it's an interesting concept. I just think the show's getting really boring.
Right.
A lot of nudity in season one, too. Not so much in season two. And for Chris, I mean,
that's all the reason I watch.
It's make or break.
Yeah.
What really matters is this.
A new survey found 52% of men have forgotten their wife or girlfriend's birthday at least one time. That's compared to just 24% of women who said they've done the same. But when guys remember, they spend more. $164 compared to $117.
In my household, it's 100% the opposite. My wife has legitimately almost forgotten my birthday two or three times in the 9 years we've been together. I've never forgotten hers.
Yeah.
But one time, my sisters have screwed it up for me. I was very, very convinced that my wife had zero idea that my birthday was about 2 days away, which is the goal. I don't like my birthday, but like I've said on the show, I just wanted her to forget it, so I had that trump card down the road. Yes. Please forget my birthday. Please forget my birthday. Mm-hmm. And then a day or two before my birthday, this was when Harper was a baby, so it was like 4 years ago. My sister goes, "Do anything fun for your birthday this weekend?" I'm like, "God dang it, Courtney." Because then Angie's like, "Oh my God, it is your birthday."
Are you kidding me?
She admitted verbally that she didn't remember that it was about a day or two away. But then, of course, then she had time to scramble and try to put something together. I'm like, "God dang it." So if my sister hadn't said anything, 100% my wife would have forgotten.
That sucks.
No, it would have been perfect. Again, because I don't want attention on my birthday, and I wanted her to forget.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted her to forget, but it didn't happen. Let's see here. What else? How about this one? What a weird one. Do you guys follow the weekend for Sean Newcomb, Braves pitcher? Anybody see that story?
No.
So we had the pitcher from the Brewers about a week ago, hater kid. Right, Josh? I think Josh Hader.
He's a hater.
Right. That had some racist tweets back in the day, and he had to explain them. And then somehow the dumbass drunken Scotties gave him a standing ovation.
Yeah.
What are you clapping for?
Don't know.
No. I love those racist tweets seven years ago. Like, and by the way, he hadn't even apologized for it. I'm pretty sure he had not apologized when they gave him a standing O. What a weird thing to give him a standing ovation for. Anyway, very similar situation with Sean Newcomb of the Atlanta Braves. He is 25 years old now. When he was 17, sent out a bunch of tweets that included some gay slurs and some racial slurs from rap lyrics. So I think he was quoting rap lyrics, but still, people weren't super thrilled about that. He said, quote, "I just wanted to apologize for any insensitive material. It was a long time ago, 6 or 7 years ago, saying some stupid stuff with friends." A couple of things there. And then we'll go back to why this is in the news for a really weird reason. Another great lesson, I was talking to my buddy John, who's a teacher. Another great lesson for kids. Stuff that you do when you're 15, 16, 17 on social media, that sticks with you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So hit the last part of his quote here, you know, "I was just saying some stupid stuff with friends." No, that's when you're in the same room with your friends. We all say stupid stuff. Not necessarily, we don't all say gay slurs or racial slurs, but we all crack jokes that are stupid.
Yeah.
and you say dumber things around your friends in company that you know understands you and things like that. What tweeting things is not saying stupid stuff with friends. That's saying stuff on the internet. That's different. Right. That's going to get tracked. So good life lesson to not be stupid on the internet, because that stuff's going to follow you.
Yep.
Here's why it was in the news, though. He was one strike away yesterday from a no-hitter. So 8 innings, 2 outs, 2 wow. strikes, and the very last pitch, theoretically, his 134th pitch, Chris Taylor of the Dodgers rips a single, and the no-hitter got broken up. Hmm. So the Braves haven't had a no-hitter since 1994, which is crazy because they've had a lot of good pitchers.
Yeah, very good pitchers.
Haven't had a no-hitter in 24 years. He's one pitch away. So after the game, he has to answer questions about the no-hitter miss and the racist tweets and gay slur tweets from 7 years ago. So what? Even if he had been one pitch better, theoretically, the best day of his professional life, a no-hitter, would have also included the same press conference as explaining the tweets from 7 years right. ago. So either way, his great pitching performance, he's got to answer questions. So again, life lesson. Don't tweet that garbage out, and then you don't Correct. Have to deal with it right. 7, 8 years down the road. What really matters is this.
Let's take a look around the police blotter, if we shall. An officer responded to a report in Nowthen of two baby raccoons hugging at the end of his driveway.
Adorable. Mm.
The officer gave the caller a number to call to have the raccoons removed. Why would you call the cops about raccoons
hugging?
Hugging?
Yeah.
You said little ones too, right? Or babies?
Yeah, well, he said baby raccoons, small? But you know, they may have been teenagers Still. Getting it on. Who knows?
Nowthen's what, about a half an hour north of here?
Yeah, not far. Yeah.
Baby raccoons hugging.
Dateline,
why would you call the...
I don't know. I can't imagine.
I can't imagine seeing two raccoons hugging and saying, I have to call anybody.
Yeah. Right.
Unless you're just deathly afraid of raccoons and you think they're going to attack you.
Yeah.
Or maybe you have some pets that you're nervous about.
Yeah.
Right, that the raccoon might attack some kind of chicken or something.
If they're just hugging in the driveway, they seem to be in a good mood. Yeah.
What do raccoons eat? Besides garbage, they're scavengers, right?
I would guess.
Yeah,
scavengers.
I don't know.
Honestly,
do they attack other animals?
I don't know.
Like, if you have small barnyard animals, are raccoons a threat?
I don't think so.
Don't they just go through your garbage? Yeah. I mean, we've all seen The Great Outdoors with John Candy and Dan Aykroyd,
yeah, they
right?
Eat hot dogs.
Yeah, man, they do.
They swear a lot.
Yeah, they got bad attitudes
sometimes. An officer responded to a report of smeared blood on playground equipment at Lagoon Park on Park Drive in Jordan. The officer got there and determined it was actually smeared with fruit.
Oh.
I wonder how he determined that.
Yeah. Did he taste it?
Gross.
It's not so bad.
Dateline Maplewood, June 29th. A customer punched a store manager and bit into his glasses.
What?
When his demand for a 5% discount was refused at Home Depot.
Jeez.
Get that red card and go to Target.
Yeah. Oh, great song.
Oh, great song.
Although, doesn't Home Depot have 5% off with your car, too?
I would think so, or is that but Lowe's? I don't know, but I think that's refused.
Lowe. I think one of the two, if not both of them, do. Yeah, I think you're right. I think Lowe's does. I don't know if Home Depot does.
I don't think Home Depot gives any discounts.
Is that right?
Well, maybe that guy's a normal Lowe's shopper and was just pissed.
Was
How
confused.
Come I don't get 5%?
Yeah, right.
How come you're not price matching?
Well, don't bite a guy's glasses, though.
Yeah, don't bite in general.
No
unless
biting.
It's sexual.
Don't do that either.
Well,
you're into that?
No, but
thoughts on biting?
I don't last long enough to get bit.
Okay, great.
Close.
Ben Lieber joins next, and we'll do Fast 5. This is the Power Trip Morning Show on the Fan.
And I don't think it's true.
A little bit later on here in the hour, talk to Ledley King, a team ambassador for the Tottenham Hotspurs, who are in town already to play the AC Milan squad tomorrow at the International Champions Cup at U.S. Bank Stadium. More information at kicktheballs.com. It should be fun tomorrow.
Ben Lieber joins the Power Trip Morning Show on Mondays and Thursdays, 7 to 9, and he joins us now. Hi, Ben.
Good morning, guys.
Hi there, buddy.
How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Hi, Ben.
Just great.
Good. Great, Grant.
Did you get
Everybody
to
on the bus.
TCO at all over the weekend?
I did not. I will make it this week. You know, when they're just running around in shorts and helmets, I just feel like it's an extension of OTAs, so there's not much you can learn from that. So,
Sauce, how was the crowd on Saturday?
I wasn't there for the afternoon crowd, but the walkthrough crowd for a Saturday, first, you know, full squad, it was good. Wasn't packed, but it was good.
People came to the walkthrough?
Yeah, oh yeah. They were cheering.
Cheering for a walkthrough.
Yeah. Mm. Sometimes when it was like Kirk Cousins to Stephon Diggs, and no one was guarding him.
Oh, and they would still cheer.
You know what? As a player, we laughed our faces off about that. When the crowd would go crazy over just a routine throw and catch.
A couple of adult
men.
Yep.
We're like, you know what, guys? That's actually supposed to happen.
Yeah,
there's nobody guarding them.
Yeah.
It would be weird if they dropped it, or if he missed by 10 yards.
Correct. But
or both.
Man, people go crazy over just a routine throw and catch that you'd find in someone's backyard.
Hey, these two perpetuated. These two are like, yay, it's football season. These are guys walking around right now.
It's football. Love it. I'm glad it's back.
No, I think everybody's glad it's back, but
it's not back.
Hey, to each their own.
It's not back for like a month and a half still.
I would probably choose to do something else during a walkthrough, like mow my lawn or watch TV.
Really? Now you're talking.
Yes.
That's so random.
Yeah, it sounds great, though.
But they put pads on today.
Yes, that's the fun part. Well, then now it's time to go to training camp. The other stuff is just like fluff. Like, the guys are out there dancing and having a good time, and everybody's in a good mood. And
wearing baseball hats.
And then 90% of the guys got no sleep last night. Because they're all nervous about today's practice.
Why?
It's the first day of pads, boy. Put the big boy pads on.
Why would you?
Now the coaches are really going to be, you know, on them, screaming at them. This is really where they make or break their jobs and their paychecks. So, man,
honestly, I can't believe it's football season again already.
I can't wait. I mean, there's a game on Sunday, Hall of Fame game, and yes, Hockey and I will watch it.
Yuck.
Right, Hogs?
Yeah, I watch it. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you saw Mamma Mia 2.
It was great. I really enjoyed it.
Wait, so who's playing in that game?
The Bears and Baltimore. Okay, you two are crabby.
No, I'm glad you like it.
I do.
No, I'll
you have
tune
every
in.
Right to watch
I'll,
it.
I'll have it on. I'll have it on the background like I would have like baseball on in the background. It's just there, right? Yeah. I probably won't sit and watch it, but if something good happens or somebody's name catches my ear from the announcers,
fancy.
then I'll listen.
Okay. And Randy's going into the Hall of Fame.
That will be fun to watch.
Yeah, I want to. Yeah,
yeah, I'll watch that.
His speech will be sweet.
You think?
Yeah, it's Randy. Randy Wales. Randy's the greatest Viking of all time. Okay.
Should we do fan
Don't
thoughts?
Worry, call the CarX man.
Thanks,
it's brought to you by CarX, and it goes a little something like this. Ben, over the weekend, the Vikings did name Clancy Barone and Andrew Janoco co-offensive line coaches, and Todd Downing will coach the tight ends.
I think that makes the most sense. You know, you got really savvy by having Downing on staff. I think that there was... You know, they were kind of leveraging the whole situation and with things for next year and maybe the year after, because we don't know what's going to happen with DeFilippo. Let's say he has a great year, and then all of a sudden now he's the next Sean McVay, young, bright, budding head coach, star in the waiting. And then you've got a guy like Downing that's just kind of waiting them in the weeds. Unfortunately, they've had to use his services in a more of a traditional assistant coaching manner because of the death of Sperano. And I think, like everybody, I haven't heard anybody that has said that they agree with getting an outside coach. So I think it makes sense they hire within. They have the talent on staff, so just go ahead and make the switch. It makes a lot of sense. And now it's solidified.
So the Tice thing confuses you a little bit, that the Ian Rappaport over the weekend reported that the Vikings did reach out to Mike Tice to talk about coaching the offensive line, but, quote, couldn't get it worked out.
See, that would not have... I don't think that would have made sense at all. But I don't know what Ian Rappaport's saying as far as they may have reached out, but in what capacity.
Right. Couldn't get it worked out is pretty vague. It could have been
they make it sound like the contract couldn't get worked out.
Right, right. And that's maybe not the case. Like you said, maybe it's just, hey, if we're interested, would you even remotely consider coming back to coaching? And if he's like, no, well, then maybe they don't have to even explore it beyond that. Who knows? And maybe it's just his reps got tired. Who knows?
Right.
It doesn't matter because it didn't happen. And Clancy Barone and Andrew Janoco are going to take over. Do you know anything about either one of them?
I mean, not a ton. I mean, Janoco's been, he was one with the offensive line, I think, for 1 year last year. He's kind of bounced around as most assistant coaches do, sort of just learning the system and learning different techniques and positions. So, you know, I think it fits that he just stays where he's at as far as an assistant. And I think Barone has actually had experience of coaching offensive line, so that's why it makes sense for him to sort of slide inside of the offensive line and move Downing, who I think has only just been a quarterback's coach, to coach tight ends. But again, tight ends, I don't think, I'm not saying that it's a hard position to coach. It's just that there's only typically three guys that you're coaching throughout the whole season. You know, in some situations, only two. On some staffs and some teams, the way they configure the rosters. So much easier to manage two or three guys versus, you know, you're looking at maybe, what, nine guys for offensive line?
Sure. What do you think of Mike Prefer saying that for now, Marcus Sherrills is going to handle the punts and Mike Hughes is going to handle the kickoffs?
I think that sort of goes right in line with it, what everybody was thinking from the offseason OTAs and minicamp. Again, they've officially logged, what, five practices, but three of which are with the rookies and two are with the veterans. None of them with pads on. So again, it's an extension of OTAs. Nobody's going to move up and down the depth chart based on these last few practices. But when they put the pads on today, that's when things really start to move. So yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a standard operation right now as far as the depth chart goes.
When you have these walkthrough practices, and we asked Dave Morgan this on Saturday, you think that you look at me and go, okay, it's just a bunch of guys in shorts and t-shirts, basically. Can you get, as a player, do you get stuff out of those? There's got to be a reason for them, right?
Well, you do. I mean, we talk about all the time that the game is way much more mental than it is physical at this point, at this level. So yeah, walkthroughs, your coaches want zero mistakes, right? Like you don't have to think about the contact of each and every play and what you're supposed to do. So they would just want to see how dialed in you are for that day's install, which is going to be run in that afternoon's practice. So they just don't want to make or have you guys make any mistakes. And so that does, you know, if you're a perpetual guy that's making mistakes in walkthroughs and then you make mistakes, you know, on the practice field that afternoon, then that's sort of a red flag for the coaches that maybe this guy just can't handle this stuff, because the walkthrough is the easiest part. So yeah, you can definitely pick up on where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to do. You can really focus in on that and you move on. But it's not like you're being physical out there and guys can learn stuff by putting their hands on each other. It's just more of a mental deal.
You played linebacker in the NFL, correct?
I think so.
Tell me if I
remember correctly.
Tell me if you relate to what Bears rookie Roquan Smith is going through right now. He remains unsigned. This is an ESPN.com story. Remains unsigned in part because of the language in his contract that would allow the team to reclaim guaranteed money if the linebacker is suspended under the NFL's new helmet contact rules. The details of the contract, a stalemate between Smith and the Bears, was first reported by the Chicago Tribune, and Bears' first-year head coach Matt Nagy confirmed to the Tribune that the helmet rule is, in fact, part of the issue, and Smith's representatives want written assurance in the contract that would prevent the Bears from taking Smith's guaranteed money if he is suspended under the new rule. So basically, it is, if he gets suspended for off-the-field things, clearly he'd have no reason to complain. But
correct,
he's saying this rule is going to be so unfair to players like him that he's nervous about different kind of clauses that could take a whole bunch of guaranteed money away if he's suspended for on-the-field plays that he's penalized for. So he seems to be not budging, right? You said, Sauce, they start Sunday, right? Their game is Sunday?
It's Thursday, actually.
Oh, Thursday. And I believe they opened at camp, what, 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
almost, right?
Yeah,
so
I think
for the
Hall
of Fame
today,
game.
Yeah.
So he's missing all of his first camp because of this holdout. And holdouts now are very rare, but this guy specifically thinks this new helmet rule is not in favor of him.
Well, I think it's actually pretty smart by his representatives to attack this helmet rule in this fashion, because we've already heard from numerous sources and teams and players that as the NFL officiating crews go through to do their presentations early in training camp, there's a lot of mixed messages about how to use this new helmet rule and how to implement it and what subjectively what the officials see. So you would hate for a guy that is as physical as Roquan Smith is to get caught up in this if they're not being taught properly on what the new helmet rule is. And then you get into a game and you're just playing the game physically and violently like you've been taught your whole life, and you get caught up and you get suspended. I think you want some assurances and protections there because the rule is so flimsy right now. I think it's very interesting. It's a very creative way to get the Bears to, well, I guess for Roquan to have peace of mind when he's playing, that he's not overthinking every situation. Like, do I put my head down in this situation? How do I get off this block? Or how do I make this tackle? And now that he's a rookie and he has this leverage to do it, hey, he's setting a precedence. I kind of like it. I'm surprised that the Bears are putting up such a wall regarding such a talented player that they want to see in camp. And in an area of need that they've been wanting for a while, they haven't had a lot of linebackers that have been I guess, good for them in the draft. They've had some injuries and stuff on the outside, and they're looking for the guy in the middle to really solidify that core, and they need that guy in camp. Mm.
Under the new rule, a player will be penalized 15 yards and potentially fined or ejected for lowering his head to initiate and make contact with his helmet against an opponent. So that's the new rule. But like you said, there's a story right now about the Eagles being shown that same presentation that you're referring to, the NFL referees showing the Eagles, here's how the new helmet rule works. One of the linebackers said, quote, "We were trying to ask questions and get a better understanding, and yet they really couldn't give us an answer. They couldn't give us what we were looking for." So that's exactly what you just said, is basically they got shown the presentation and they still don't know what they can and cannot do. So it sounds like maybe the first handful of weeks of the NFL season might be a mess. I think we're going to see plenty of weird calls on this one, and I assume on Fanline we will have to discuss whether or not it was the penalty, whether or not the players understand the penalties. The fans are probably going to be confused on what is and is not a penalty, so that's going to be a weird transition period.
I know that the NFL operations has already put out videos and clips showing what will be illegal hits for this upcoming season and what will remain legal hits. And I think it's still confusing. And it's ridiculous that they've had all this time to talk about this rule and educate their officials, and they're going into camps and they're getting confused on how to answer these questions to the actual players. Not media, but actual players.
Right.
I mean, there's some clear failings going on that side of it.
More of the Power Trip Morning Show with Ben Lieber. We'll talk more Vikings in about 25 minutes during Vikings News at 7:40. It's the Power Trip Morning Show on The Fan. It's one last kiss in the driveway. Hey, radio DJ. No problems.
Hey, Sauce?
Yeah, babe?
Why'd you throw my shoe across the room?
I don't know.
Yep. You
know. Because you weren't listening to me?
I was reading. I was trying to do prep for the show.
No, you weren't. You were looking at Hustler.
So I said.
Looking at Bigfoot porn.
Yeah, man.
Ben, we learned about that earlier, that Bigfoot erotica is a thing.
For who?
People that want to fantasize about maybe running into Bigfoot in the woods and then being seduced by him or seducing him.
So it's the same thing as bestiality, right? I mean, it's those same type of people.
I don't think it is.
I don't think so.
Because with bestiality, it's I know a dog or a horse or a pig exists, and I'm going to do it. I think it's the fantasy of like this giant Bigfoot creature. I think it would be the same thing as being turned on by a unicorn or a Pegasus or something. Right? They know they.
And that's
they
beyond
real.
Weird. That's disturbing.
Did you see
it?
Hearing the Hendersons?
Yeah.
He was compassionate. He was nice. He was friendly. He was a good babysitter. Cleaned the house a little bit. Maybe some gals are just like, he seems like a good dude. Maybe they think they can find an emotional attachment to him.
So this is like I take it most of the men are searching this out?
In the case that we read, it's a guy that was apparently intrigued by Bigfoot erotica.
Yeah.
So he's a homosexual man?
I don't believe so.
No, I think he liked...
He is a Republican nominee in, where do we...
Georgia?
Virginia or something? Georgia, yeah.
I can't remember what city or what state it was, but I do know that I think he enjoyed watching them with ladies.
Yeah, got it. So he wasn't necessarily turned on by him and the Bigfoot. He just wanted to see Bigfoot crush some chick.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Which now, that makes sense, right? That I get.
What?
You never watched? You've never once seen like that Jack Lynx commercial and said, "I wonder if he gets after it."
No.
Not once.
Not even one time. Nope.
Only the episode with Big Cat, I guess. I'm just kidding.
Big Cat and Bigfoot getting it on.
Kidding.
Ben, that is literally the greatest idea in human history.
I think that's an overstatement.
There's a guy named Keith King in North Carolina, and about 3 years ago, his wife Danielle had an affair with a guy named Francisco Huzar.
Oh. Well, I can understand why.
Francisco.
So Danielle gets it on with Francisco, but Danielle's married to Keith.
Okay.
A lot of fun names. Well, North Carolina is one of the handful of states that lets people sue over affairs. It's called alienation of affection. And you can sue someone if they do something to destroy your marriage. So last year, Keith filed a lawsuit against Francisco for seducing his wife and ruining his marriage and his life. And after Keith found out about the affair, he had Danielle separated. He and Danielle separated.
Had her separated?
Oh. Yeah, from Francisco.
Like
a crowbar. Like, get off her, Francisco! No, he and Danielle separated. His business started tanking, and he said he even developed PTSD. So you can shake your head and go, well, does the business tanking have anything to do with that? Maybe. Maybe his attitude changed or something. Here's the positive side for good old Keith King, double K. Oh. I hope his middle name doesn't start with a K. Last week, it is North Carolina. He was awarded $8.8 million
from
a judge last week.
Wait.
Francisco's attorney says they're planning to appeal, but last week a judge sided with Keith, $8.8 million settlement for alienation of affection.
Wow. So Francisco obviously has to have some cash, right? You can't just award some guy off the street or fine him $8 million if he doesn't have...
Well, with a name like that, he has to have cash.
Has money in the bank, right?
You sound super charming.
Mm. Don't know.
But that law seems like it makes sense until, let's say, the wife lied to Francisco the whole time. How is he supposed to know she's married?
Great question, Ben.
Well said.
No idea.
Detective.
Right. What if he? Yeah, exactly. Is he supposed to, before you have any kind of interaction with anybody in North Carolina, are you supposed to do a full background check and have private investigators make sure she's not married? Because if you do, you're going to get sued for $8.8 million and lose? What did I do? I just slept with a gal that I thought was single.
Yeah.
Well, she's not. She's married to Keith King. What? The Keith King?
The King of Keiths?
That guy's going to sue me. The King of Keiths.
King of Keiths. Genius.
I don't know a lot of Keiths.
I don't know any. Oh, I know one.
Did you just meet somebody?
There's no one here, Paul.
I know one.
Mm. Cool.
I like to ask this question all the time, but again, is a name like Keith dying out?
I don't know.
My neighbors, Scooter and Felatio, are having a kid tomorrow.
Okay.
And they don't, as of like this weekend, they still didn't know what the name was going to be.
Mm. Probably not Keith. I don't.
Well, when your name's Scooter and Felatio, though, Keith's an upgrade. But I mean,
true.
Is Keith even a name that gets, in 2018, does anybody name their baby Keith unless it's Keith Jr., right? Unless it's.
I don't think in all three of my kids' schooling is there ever a Keith in their class?
Maybe Keith is extinct.
Maybe.
Moving forward, right? Like middle child. We talked about that a week or two ago, that the middle child in America is slowly dying off because people aren't having more than two kids unless you're Ben Lieber.
Wouldn't that mean that the third child is dying off? Because if there's no middle child, then the third child never existed.
What?
Oh, my God.
You guys into darts at all? Do you like to play darts, throw darts?
Sure.
Yeah.
Me too. I enjoy it. This just sounds like something you wouldn't care at all about, but I got to tell you, there's something on the Power Trip page right now that's pretty damned amazing to watch.
Clickbait.
This guy threw what they call a perfect nine. I don't know what it means, but I know when he meant to throw it at the 12, the triple 12, he hit it every time. When he meant to do the triple 20, he hit it every time. It's the most amazing thing. This is how it sounds.
Come on, Gary, come on. The little twizzle made no difference.
Twizzle.
Yeah, he didn't quite get a clean transfer to the throwing hand, but it didn't matter. He's on. We've waited since 2014 for a nine-dart leg.
There's one.
Gary Anderson wants treble 19. To end the wait!
You got to see it. You can't believe it. I can't believe anybody is that good at throwing darts. I love throwing darts, man.
Right, here's the deal. And listen to that crowd, right? I can go full circle. When people say, like, why would anybody watch or get that jacked about darts? Or in my case, right, why would anybody watch other people play poker? Why wouldn't you just play darts or play poker yourself, right? I think it was ABC. ABC, was it yesterday, had middle of the day the Overwatch League on national television. And Overwatch is a huge deal, right? There are teams all over the country now that a couple NFL owners paid $10 million plus to buy these franchises. They showed this match between Team London and Team something else, I forget. And stadium was packed. Four or five kids on a team, I think, sitting up on the stadium or on the podium there. And after every kill, you can hear the crowd going nuts. And I'm watching it on TV, and it's chaos. I have no idea what I'm watching, right? As a guy that's played video games my whole life, I've never played Overwatch. I have no idea what's happening. I don't know what they're cheering for. It just seems like there's 10 people running around and shooting each other, and I don't know who's shooting who. It's insane. My favorite part of the whole bit, round end, some team wins, crowd's going nuts, standing ovation, everybody's clapping, everybody's cheering. And these kids are drinking water and Gatorade like they're exhausted. Right? It's like, whew, it rounds over. Yeah. And they're just hammering water as the crowd like is chanting their name and cheering for them. And they're taking a break. A much-needed break.
Yeah, but it's e-sports. It's a sport,
yeah,
right?
Man. Yeah. Hey, man, I mentally, I assume it's draining. I can relate to that. Poker is just sitting at a table, even though I'm permanently retired. But still, back in the day when I used to play, you sit there all day. And it's not physically exhausting, but mentally it can be exhausting. I'm sure it's tiring on your thumbs if you're playing video games, but these kids were sipping water like they had run a half marathon.
There's an article about half the sports page on one of the pages today about college football being distracted, college football players being distracted by Fortnite. And it's a giant article. These kids are having a hard time. One of the kids is a cornerback, I believe, from Virginia, who said, I had to delete it completely from my Xbox because I couldn't stop thinking about playing it. I need to start thinking about football. I can't stop.
What? People still play that?
Fortnite, apparently, big deal, man. It's only a year old.
It's gigantic.
Well, the story over the summer, right, with who's the pitcher for?
David Price.
Yeah, David Price.
Who's he play for, Hawk?
David Price?
Yeah.
The Giants.
Nailed it.
Of the NFL?
I don't know. There's a San Francisco Giants team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not right, but that is a team.
That's wrong.
But whether it's darts, poker, video games, again, I still think it's the same reasons why we watch the Olympics. It's you want to watch the best of the world do what they do. And would I watch darts weekly? No. But if the World Series of Darts was a gigantic deal and it was on TV, I'd probably watch it for 30 minutes to see if it piqued my interest or not.
I'd give it a shot. I think the number one example for all of that is a spelling bee. Listen, I will watch...
Yeah.
I will watch 9-year-old kids spell words that I didn't even know existed. I wouldn't do it every day, but I would watch the script spelling bee when it came down to like the nitty gritty in the last few. Like,
sure.
Absolutely.
Just for the drama,
just
right?
Just for the drama.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a big televised event.
Everybody would tune in just to see if a nerd passes out.
Rosie.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And that happened once.
No, yeah.
I don't want to see that.
And then that nerd stood up and got the word right anyway.
Yeah, it was impressive.
And as a guy that faints from time to time, I think I would have zero chance of spelling almost any word right after I black out, let alone alopecoid, which he nailed.
Is that the word?
Yeah.
Alopecoid?
Yeah.
You want to hear it? Again, a word that I didn't even know existed.
Here, check this out. We still have it in the system here. Give me 10 seconds.
We do?
Alopecoid. And then he drops like a bag of rocks. Hang on a second here.
Rosie.
All right, right here, this bit.
Alopecoid means like a fox, vulpine.
A lava coin.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm on time.
You've never seen this happen. The poor gentleman, he's...
But listen to this champion rise from the ashes.
Apparently he's fainted on stage. I think he's okay, but... They did stop the clock.
A-L-O-P-E-C-O-I-D. A lava coin.
That is wow. Correct.
Yeah.
He seems to be okay. What a champion. He spelled the word correctly.
Didn't waste any time after the fainting about language of origin, definition, please. It was just, I'm embarrassed. I know the word. I'm not going to go through the motions. Let's spell this thing
he
and move on.
He was rolling there. Great point.
Vikings news is next with former Viking Ben Lieber right here on The Fan.
Welcome back to the Power Trip Morning Show, everybody. Lots going on the show today. Of course, Ben Lieber in. It's Monday. Ben, am I right? Do we not have you on Thursday?
No, I'm here Thursday.
Oh, you are? I thought you were leaving.
Well, I go out of town today, but I'm back Wednesday night.
Oh, well,
so,
that's very good to know.
It falls perfectly in the window.
Where are you going?
Los Angeles.
Which is very odd because our next guest was just in Los Angeles, I believe. Ledley King, how are you, sir?
Very good, thank you.
I can't. I love it. I love the voice. I love the accent, man.
It's turned on by
you and
your
I are
British
to be friends also already. Well, again, a former great for Tottenham Hotspurs who are in town tomorrow to play AC Milan down at US Bank Stadium. The of course, the Champions Cup is back. It's been 2 years since the first time I was here. It was a great success. It'll be a great success again tomorrow. Tickets still available at kicktheballs.com and so on and so forth. But Ledley King, you are now an ambassador for this squad. Welcome to Minneapolis and the Power Trip Morning Show.
Thank you very much. First time in Minneapolis, and I've heard so many great things about the city. So, yeah, pleasure to be here.
The guy to your right there, that's Ben Lieber. You just met him, I'm sure.
Yep, I did. Yeah.
Professional football player from over here. Your thoughts on American football?
Yeah, well, it's becoming very popular over in the UK now, obviously hosting games at Wembley Stadium. And funny enough, we're building a new stadium, which will be ready for next season, where we'll host an NFL game. So I'm looking forward to seeing that there.
So when we were there last fall for the game in London against the Cleveland Browns, it seemed like people were showing up to NFL games wearing every jersey in the NFL, not necessarily the Browns or the Vikings. Do you guys feel like there is a team that the country is kind of getting behind, or is it just the league in general?
I think it's the league in general. I think at the start it becomes the league in general, and then I think that once everyone comes a little bit more accustomed to the NFL, then teams will latch onto a team and support them.
So that being said, not that you're here to talk about American football the whole time, but is American football getting more popular from a youth level in the UK?
I think it's becoming that now. Of course, the more that the young players get to see it over in the UK, I think they take to it, and I think it will become a lot more popular with young players over there. Yeah.
So, Ledley, you've played in a World Cup before, correct?
I have, yeah.
And the World Cup, of course, just ended. Do you see a boost in communities where you're when you're traveling after a World Cup is over? Do you see kind of an immediate rise in interest in soccer, whether it's in America or even overseas where it's already gigantic?
Yeah, well, you know, when I was a young player, I remember the 1990 World Cup when England had great success, got to the semi-finals, and it had a huge impact on me as a young player. So, you know, I still imagine it's the same for all the young players out there, seeing England and the nation do so well. And I'm sure, as it was in 2014 for the U.S. soccer team having a great World Cup, I'm sure that had a real impact on the young players over here.
Yeah, this year not so much.
Not so much
this year, they did not get there, and that changed the whole feel for the whole bit. But England had a good run, right? I watched the game where there was Harry Kane, and who's the other Harry that scored a goal? The other tall dude,
Maguire.
Yeah, Harry Maguire. That dude headed one in.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
and London was going crazy.
That was
from afar as a guy that's not a big soccer fan. That seemed to be the thing that everybody glammed onto this year is the celebrations of the countries who scored goals. It wasn't even about the goal. It was going to Twitter to see that country losing its mind back home. So clearly they really, really get into it. But man, some of those celebrations are just off the charts.
Yeah, it's great. You know, first and foremost, we really enjoyed the success that we had. It's been a long time coming for England to do well in a tournament. And, you know, what was great is that Tottenham were a major part in the tournament. You know, not just the England players, but Belgium. We had three or four players there as well that performed really well. So we actually had nine players that got to the semi-final stages from the Tottenham team, which was great from our point of view.
Hmm.
Again, excuse me, our guest is Ledley King. He's with Tottenham. He is a team ambassador for them, but he played 13 seasons, 321 games for the only team he ever played for, Tottenham. Tell me, this is a dumb question, man, but I got a bunch of them, Ledley, so stay with me, okay? Is Tottenham a city or just a team?
It's a team, but it is an actual, it's a place in London.
Okay.
In London. It's an area in London, Tottenham, in North London.
Gotcha.
Actually, so... yeah, that's where we're based and that's where we play. So yeah.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in East London, which is only probably half an hour, 30 minutes away from North London. So it's all pretty close, really. And I joined Tottenham as a 14-year-old, fell in love with the club, and you know they can't get rid of me. I'm still here. So
did you join when you were 14?
I joined them when I was 14 years
14.
Old.
14.
Yeah, yeah. I made my Premier League debut at 18, and I retired at 31. Yeah.
Wait, so how does that work? So when you say you joined the team at 14,
yeah.
Are you like on a development league team still, for them or something? Or how does that work?
Yeah, at this stage, I'm still a schoolboy, so I'm still at school. Yeah. And I'm just training 2 days a week and playing games at weekends until at 16, we actually leave school.
Okay.
And I'm full-time training every day, trying to become a professional player.
So you never went to prom?
No, never. Unfortunately, never got the chance. Yeah.
You and me both, buddy. Very different reasons. Very, very different.
There's still
reasons.
Time. There's still time. I think.
Well, then I accept. No. So do they draft you? Do they like take your rights, or how do you get to be a part of a team at 14?
At that stage, you sign a small contract. So you know, at 14, I signed a 2-year contract. That took me up to 16, and then at 16, if you're good enough, you sign another contract where you start full-time. Fortunately, I was offered a 1-year youth apprentice and 3 years professional already, which is quite rare. Normally, you do 2 years apprenticeship, and if you're lucky enough, then you get offered a professional contract. So, you know, I was quite fortunate. I knew the next four years of my life. If I continue to go along the right path, I had a great chance.
All right, so wait a minute. So you're familiar with LeBron James.
Of course.
So LeBron James Jr. right now is 14 years old,
yeah.
And everybody knows who he is because his dad's going to games, and it sounds like he's the real deal anyway, that he's going to be, at some point, an NBA superstar and so on and so forth. So everybody's watching him at 14, and he's a huge deal wherever he goes.
Yes.
What's it like to be a soccer player in England at 14 and get that contract? Like, are you the coolest kid in school by a mile when you get that deal?
In school, yeah, yeah. It feels good. You know, you do walk around school like you're the man at that age, which probably doesn't help, you know, your education. But
your social life must have been off the charts.
Yeah, but that doesn't help your football. So, you know, you have to really stay level-headed. But at that stage, there's still so much work ahead. You know, you're guaranteed nothing at that age.
What age did you know you had a chance? Clearly at 14 you got hooked up with a team,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Did you know at 8, 9, 10 that you were on that path?
Probably 10, 11, I'd say.
No kidding.
You started to truly separate from other kids that you were playing with?
The crazy thing is, if you would have asked me at that age, you know, what do you want to do or what are you going to do, I would have said 100%, I know I'm going to become a footballer. But really, I didn't know. You know, there's so much ahead of you still, you know, and injuries and you just never know, but you know, I was that focused and I had that much confidence in my ability at that age that yeah, I fancied my chances.
So you were you always a defender?
I was. I was, but you know, I played in midfield sometimes as a young kid, which I think helped develop my game and helped me to become an even better defender because I became quite comfortable with the ball at my feet from playing in midfield. So I think that helped.
So, Ledley, tell us from afar what America's doing wrong. Why can't we catch the rest of the world when it comes to soccer? What are we missing? I mean,
there's no reason why you guys shouldn't be or shouldn't have the best players in the world. You know, you're great athletes, disciplined. But, of course, you have your NFLs and your basketballs and other kind of distractions away from soccer, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And I hear that soccer is played at youth level, you know, a lot by the young kids. But then... you maybe lose them into other sports as they get a bit older. So trying to keep the young players in the game, in soccer, I think will go a long way.
I feel like, and my daughter just went through this because she's 4 and just had her first soccer camp last week.
Yeah.
I just think it's the best introduction to sports as a kid because it is just, at that point, just kick the ball,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about strategy or, you know, attention to detail. Just run around and kick it.
Run around
it's
and
fun,
kick
right.
The ball, but, you know, it's great for kids and, you know, burning energy and stuff like that. But it's so different in America. You know, you guys use your hands a lot, and we use our feet. So when I've come over here and you know, I tried a little bit of ice hockey the other day, which didn't work out well for me. But and I threw the first pitch at the Rams game again. Should have done better. So a little bit foreign for me to use my hands. I'm much more accustomed to using my feet, but it's great.
Again, Ledley King is our guest. And don't forget, tomorrow is the International Champions Cup. And that's at U.S. Bank Stadium. The game's at 7:30, but everything starts down at 5:30. There's lots of things outside for the kids as well. So come on down, and then I'll be playing a concert at 5:45 inside there. For more information, kicktheballs.com. But come on down tomorrow night to the International Champions Cup. What's it like for these players? Obviously, you're a team representative coming over here as an ambassador doing this. But for the players, are they enjoying doing this tour of the United States and playing these games?
Yeah, they love it. You know, for many of them, it's the first time in the States, because we have a lot of young players that are here on this trip. So they're loving it. They're loving it. You know, but also the level of competition that we're able to play against in the ICC tournament is great for us. You know, great for our preparations of before we go into the Premier League season.
A couple of random questions about BNU. Number one, when it comes to coming to the United States, what's the biggest difference you notice about people from the USA and people from London and England and such?
I think it's the energy of you guys in America. You're just full of energy.
Really?
And I don't know if that's the weather that you
You're looking at the wrong guys. Ben's got a lot of energy. The rest of us are full of energy. Perpetually tired.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's one of the things that stands out to me. You know, I think you guys are full of energy. And, and back home, maybe it's because we get so much cold weather. It's a little bit more different back home.
Right, yeah. Right. What is your favorite food to eat over here that maybe you guys don't have over in England, if anything?
I love the food over here, but you got to be careful what you eat, you know, especially at breakfast time. You know, but we went to the famous Matt's restaurant, and we had the Juicy Lucy.
Oh, right. Burger. Yeah,
Matt's
Bar.
Yes, yeah. Matt's, oh, my goodness.
Bar, yesterday, so that was pretty good. That tasted good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I had to go there. Yeah,
I don't know if anything about your personal life, if you're a single guy, anything like that. But how about with the ladies? Do you notice a big difference between the ladies from America and the ladies from England?
I'm working, so I don't. You know, I've not had a chance to.
Right.
I'm sure all the ladies.
Well, you've spent a lot of time with Andrea over there, so you know you can't judge all the American women by Andrea. All right, just you got to be
lovely.
Careful.
She's been a great help.
Yeah. Real dumb question, by the way. Back to the fact that you used your feet, and not your hands. Yeah. Like, let's say you had a horrific tractor accident before you leave Minnesota, and both of your arms get cut off.
Why is he in a tractor?
He's experiencing Minnesota, and you get like a combine accident,
okay,
and you lose both of your arms.
Be careful, Ledley, if you're on a combine.
You don't bleed out. You survive. You're probably in rehab for months. But when the rehab's over, you're walking around and you only have your feet. What could you do with your feet that would blow our minds? Like, do you think you could feed yourself with your feet?
Do you know what? I'm not that flexible at the moment. You know, maybe with a little bit of yoga.
You think you could sign your name with your feet?
No chance.
So it's just it's not necessarily doing chores and whatnot. It's
No. I haven't tried. I haven't tried washing the dishes or anything like that with my feet.
Maybe you should.
Having played in the World Cup, you played in some enormous moments. I had some enormous matches. What's the biggest crowd you've ever played in front of? Do you know?
I'm not too sure, but I think it's probably not 90,000 or so. I know you guys have bigger stadiums over here, but yeah, playing at Wembley is our biggest stadium in the UK. And yeah, I was fortunate enough to play there quite a few times.
Now, we've asked Ben this 1,000 times because Ben played in the NFL for a billion years. But is there a point where the crowd size, it almost doesn't matter, where you can't, the difference between 40 and 90 is in your mind, is it's essentially the same thing? Do you even realize the size of the crowd?
I think once you get onto the pitch, once the game starts, I think you're able to lock into the game and really just kind of forget about the crowd. You never forget about the crowd. You can always hear them, but you know, numbers become irrelevant and you're just sucked into the atmosphere in general.
So you miss it? You've been retired now for what?
6 years now. 6 years. Yeah, 6 years. It's always going to be in me. You know, I'm always going to miss it. I'm always going to think that I can still do it, you know, as I felt with ice hockey. Although I've never played that before, but I thought that I could still skate, which I couldn't. So, No, of course I'm going to miss it, but it's great that I'm still part of the club that I've been at for so long.
Well, Ludley, now you have time to go back and finish school. For God's sakes, you skipped the last 2 years.
Go to the prom. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, you might get in trouble for that, Ludley. I'm not going to lie to you.
You're probably too old now. That would be weird.
Well, it's great to meet you, man. Thank you for giving us your time, and we will see you tomorrow night. And again, for more information, kicktheballs.com. That's Ludley King. He's with the Tottenham Hotspurs. One of the greats for that squad. Again, 321 games, and probably still be playing without those chronic knee problems, right?
There's a good chance, yeah. Although it'll be right at the end of my career, for sure. Yeah,
right.
It's a lot of running, 321 games.
Absolutely, man. Well, congrats. Again, tomorrow night, 5:30, there's lots of kids' activities going down, and then the concert at 5:45, and then the game at 7:30. Greenway's going to be there. Tyler and what's our buddy's name?
George.
George Demeling. I'm having a hard time here. And Jason and Carly going to be there. All kinds of great events going on around this game tomorrow night. So, Ledley, great to meet you, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, man. You guys take care. There you go.
All right, that kind of ended up being Vikings news because Ben was talking and that counts. But we'll technically do Vikings news when we come back, and we'll do Fan 5. The 8 o'clock hour of the Power Trip Morning Show right after this on the...
Good morning, everybody. 7:59. We didn't do Vikings news at all.
We got
our
new
friend Ludley King in here. Oh my gosh, yes, so much.
Kind of.
Didn't we kind of talk about it already at 7 o'clock?
Yeah, but nobody that is listening now was listening then, right? Totally new audience.
I don't know if that's true.
Nobody's willing to listen to the show for more than 6 to 7 minutes. So 100% turnover. Even the podcasters have tuned out and are probably not coming back.
Okay.
So let's do Fan 5 as well. And Fan 5 is brought to you by Continental Diamond and our friends at ContinentalDiamond.com. 9 straight years, best jeweler in the Upper Midwest. 9 straight years. That's an official thing.
That's sweet.
That's a fact. All right, so let's start with the Vikings news that broke over the weekend. We had been talking about it for about a week because it was a week ago Sunday that Tony Sperano passed away. They did over the weekend name Clancy Barone and Andrew Janocco, co-offensive line coaches. You broke it down fully at the Fan 5 segment an hour ago. But quickly recap your thoughts on co-offensive line coaches.
I just think the whole thing really makes sense from a timing issue, from a seamless transition issue. They're in the, you know, listen, their wheels are starting to speed up to 100 miles an hour. And to bring in an outsider, whether it be as the reports were you stated earlier, Mike Tice coming back, how serious that was or not, I just don't think it ever made sense to bring an outsider in at the start, the very start of training camp when you don't know the players at all, you don't have any sort of eye for them, you haven't coached them, yet you still have to get up to speed on Flip's offense and terminology. So I think it just made sense to shuffle around within. You had Todd Downing waiting in the wings, you know, doing other administrative stuff with coaches and assisting and advising with a lot of positions, and he sort of slides in to the tight ends room, and I think that makes the most sense for everybody, and now they can really focus on, you know, the task at hand, which is training camp.
And Sauce, what's the training camp schedule for today?
They practice 10:30 to, I think, 11:30 is just a walkthrough, and then 2:45 to 5.
And walkthroughs are open to the public, too?
No, you have to have tickets for all of it.
Nope. Right, but I mean open to the public, though.
Yeah,
if you have tickets, you're
if you have tickets,
in.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Yep. So if you want to go watch guys in shorts walk around this morning,
please
go do that.
Yep.
How do you spell orthopedics?
Diggs wears super short shorts.
Who?
Stephon Diggs.
Oh, Diggs.
Yeah, this guy here who's talking about other receivers in the league getting paid.
I was extremely happy for him. You know, seeing guys who grind all their life and get paid is definitely, you know, it's a blessing. And I treat every situation, you know, I'm happy for every guy that gets paid. You know, for me, I don't really think of any, I don't really think of it as far as like for my personal, you know, for me, everybody's different, you know, so I'm just more so happy for those guys when they pop up on my phone, you know, two claps and, you know, keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
That's mostly a lie, right? Because clearly I'm sure you can be happy for other people, but like, for example, Hawk, if you and I heard that Sauce signed a 3-year, $2.6 million deal here at iHeart,
I'd quit.
Can you imagine? No, it's the opposite. Can you imagine the party we would throw?
That's true.
That's great news for us. If he's getting 2.6,
is that happening?
Absolutely not.
No.
Oh.
I mean, no. 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 Nope.
No.
No.
This,
can't should imagine.
I ask for it?
No.
Yeah, you can. In fact, ask for it, but then make sure you're filming it so clickbait can post it on KFAN.com.
Oh. I don't even know if I have a contract.
People who buy things are suckers.
Yeah.
Yeah, buying things whales.
I love to buy things.
Yeah.
I think that's that was a genuine answer, I believe.
Yeah.
Because in that moment, for right now, he should be happy for everybody. You know, I think he's a guy that's going to get a new contract, whether it's from the Vikings or somebody else. And he wants to see these numbers get higher and higher and higher. So, of course, he's going to be happy for these guys because he knows he's next in line.
It benefits him, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a self-serving deal.
If they were all making $1.2 million, then the whole, I'm happy for him.
Exactly.
Because then it would mean that he's not making any money. So good for Stephon Diggs. He's going to get paid barring serious injury. I wonder if he's got an insurance policy this season. He should.
He probably should.
Yeah.
He definitely should.
Yeah, Barr does, right?
Yeah, Anthony Barr did. But funny that Anthony Barr actually... I mean, he sort of has $12 million guaranteed anyway because of his tag and his fifth-year option. So it's already kind of an insurance policy, but...
Hey, I like the name Anthony Barr more than Tony Barr, right? Anthony was a smart play.
Yeah, good point. Tony doesn't sound right.
Tony Barr doesn't sound like he's very good at football. No. Anthony Barr sounds menacing.
Yes, it does.
At times. Let's see here. We talked about Sherrills and Hughes doing the punts and kickoffs. By the way, Mike Prefer announcing that for now Sherrills is going to handle punts. Mike Hughes is going to handle kickoffs. I mean, let's say they cut Marcus Sherrills, even though for about 15 straight seasons we've heard they're going to and they never do, right?
Never,
because they love him and he always finds a way to make the team, despite, even if it doesn't look on paper like it makes sense. And this is another year, right, where it looks like you could let him go. We have a lot of cornerbacks. We could have Hughes do both, potentially. It looks like there's another year that Sherrills is probably going to be on the border, and he'll find a way to make it. But for now, let's just say they're going to cut him, for argument's sake. Isn't this what you have to say? Is you have to make it look like Sherrills has a shot, right?
Yeah.
If he has a shot, you have to at least get... If they said Hughes is doing punts, Hughes is doing kickoffs... Then you'd look at the depth chart and go, well, now there is zero reason for Sherrills to still be here. You may as well just cut him loose and give him another chance. But if you're going to give him a sliver of a hope again to make the team, which means he probably will, then you got to give him something, and they're giving him punts.
Well, it's sort of like the like what Kai Forbath is going through right now, right? I think that they have to make it seem like it's an actual competition. And in all fairness, you have to give the veteran the upper leg, no pun intended. But I mean, he's probably going to get the primary, the first kicks and the first reps of that special teams period, and then the rookie comes in and kicks. Well, the same thing. I mean, listen, he's earned that right to be at the top of the depth chart as far as a punt returner, and I think everybody would have a conniption if we get into camp and they announce, instead of this announcement that he was a starting punt returner, that nope, he's number two in the depth chart. It's like, well, give the guy a chance. Like, give the guy a shot to actually compete rightfully for the spot. And I think now at this point in time, being the starter and named penciled in as the starter, he'll get those opportunities in the preseason games. And then we get to all see for our own eyes, not just in practice, and they will as well, who's the better punt returner.
You know, like when you're in the water and a shark fin pops up, you don't have to swim faster than the shark. You just have to swim faster than your buddies.
Right.
Is that what it's like when it's special teams? Because if you're the kicker and they bring another kicker in, you know you're in big trouble. When you're a linebacker and there's like a group of 10 of you, you're like, all right, I don't have to beat out everybody, but I got to beat out enough to get on the squad. Like for example, if this show brought in like another sports guy, right, to talk sports and whatnot, all of us would be like, well, that's not really my thing, so he's not a huge threat. But if some guy sat right there and his name was like Bruce... And Bruce is like, hey, welcome to the show, Bruce. And Bruce is like, I'm going to go sunbathe my crank. Think of how nervous that guy would be if Bruce is on. Yeah. If Bruce was on payroll.
Bruce sounds great,
wait,
though.
What if Bruce sounds like me, too.
But that's my point. What if Bruce sat down and started playing the hits? Then you'd have to be super nervous.
Yeah, but they're my hits.
Yeah, but
Bruce
does
it better.
So
Bruce,
cool.
Bruce is younger. He's cheaper. He's got a better attitude.
What's his A-word like?
$93 shorts.
Yeah. Well, then I'd be in trouble.
You'd be in big trouble.
Yeah, but then I would just find more hits to play.
Like that sentence.
Like that sentence, yeah.
God, Miss Bruce.
He's not real. We're going to make him happen. No, we're not bringing Bruce in to take
him out. We're going to bring him into existence.
Bruce sounds hilarious.
If your name is Bruce and you can do crank jokes, email either Chris Hockey or myself or tweet us at PowerTripKFAM. We'll call you Bruce the Crank Guy.
Bruce the Crank Guy!
You can come in 3 days a week. At first, just for like an hour to feel it out. But if you consistently can crush it and knock it out of the park, eventually we can squeeze Sauce out and you can be the new Bruce.
Damn, I miss Bruce. Here.
Well, then you... But again, this is like what Kai Forbath is going through. Bruce, real sexy, right? He's young.
Oh, is he young?
A lot of potential.
Oh, God.
Strong legs.
Strong legs.
He's got,
yeah.
What?
So you either have to hope Bruce dies in a car wreck on the way over here, or you have to somehow blow us away with your performance, Paul.
Forget it.
At Power Trip KFAN, Bruce.
Nah.
Or at Corey Cove at iHeartMedia.com or at Hawk@KFAN.com.
I don't really care about Bruce.
Was Bruce born in the USA?
Great point.
I don't even care. Maybe that's a maybe we have a cool foreigner coming.
Yeah, maybe he's from London.
Maybe he's got a cool accent. Bruce with an accent.
He says, oh, Bruce.
Sunbathe my crank.
His name's like, Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce. Yeah, Bruce, like from Teen Wolf.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's fine. I'll try my best, and if I don't get picked, then fine.
Wow, that's way to go, Kai Forbath.
I'll move on.
You gotta have a better attitude. Killer instinct, man.
But some other team had picked me up.
That's not even remotely guaranteed to be true.
That's not true, Blair Walsh.
Yeah. Somebody would.
Whoa!
Where would you go? What would you do?
I don't know. I haven't thought of it. I don't need a backup plan.
Think about it.
Milwaukee? No.
Right now, I agree. Right now, you do not need a backup plan. Until Bruce sits right there.
Oh, God, I miss Bruce.
What about Mr. X?
Right. Again, Mr. Z, I don't think, is threatened by Mr. X.
He might be. He should be. And not because he's going to take his job, but just because of what he might do when he bends over. Here's Mike Prefer on the kicking competition.
Put these guys in pressure situations in team, and then on the side when we do all the charting, because quite honestly, they have to be, one's got to be more consistent than the other. One's got to be do what we ask them to do on kickoffs better than the other. And you know, it was a very good competition in the spring. Both guys showed up and did a great job. And, you know, I think, you know, Daniels is as advertised. He's very strong. He's a very good kickoff guy. He's got some work to do being a little bit more consistent with his field goals. And I thought Kai had a tremendous spring. So they were neck and neck all spring, and we'll see what happens.
Hockey.
Yes, sir.
Daniel, great point.
What?
Am I the only one that loves that he just said charting with like an apostrophe at the end?
Yeah, I like it.
Go to the sidelines and do some charting. Yeah.
I like Charter.
Not Sharding.
A good guy. I like
CH.
Him.
So go back to your original hypothetical. Mm-hmm. So if they bring in a linebacker, it's not, you know, you just have to swim faster than the slowest guy. That's not necessarily truth at all, because obviously we have different positions at linebacker, mm-hmm. and they bring guys specifically in to play certain positions.
So there's about three guys per group, right, per linebacker spot?
So I would say that, you know, as much as it's more frontal to have a kicking or punting competition because there's just one guy, right? And everybody's focused on the one guy in the one position. It actually, in some ways, is worse to be in other positions and there's more pressure. Maybe not so much from the kicking aspect and, like, you're taking points off the board if you miss. That there sometimes are two, three guys gunning for your position, not just one. So, I don't know. I mean, I know that there's sympathy towards Kai Forbath in his situation, but that's the way the game works at every position.
Let me see if I can defend you again. And I assume, too, whether it's in practice or preseason or in games or pregame, you could probably give both kickers an equal opportunity in camp and in preseason to display their leg. I assume there are linebackers at some point that feels like they get lost in the shuffle and didn't get a fair crack at even proving themselves because of the time that other people get given to them.
That is true as well.
So that's frustrating as well.
Yes. That is true as well. Mm-hmm. They will have it'll be a much more open competition for all to see because it is pretty much pretty black and white. You either make the kick or you miss it. And depending on how you make it too, if it's like always right through the middle, then like that's better than Kai hitting the upright and it bouncing it.
Have you guys seen Daniel Carlson in person yet?
Uh-uh.
Anybody seen him in person?
I have.
Pictures of him make him look very, very thin, very short. Is he short?
Gosh, I don't remember now.
Is he tall and lanky? Is he like tall and lanky or just short and thin? He looks rail thin. How do guys that are that little have such gigantic legs?
He's look at the soccer players.
But man,
soccer players
just
aren't, you know, overly tall or built guys. They just have super strong legs.
Like, I know they're short, so they can kick probably quicker, but can you imagine if, like, the big cat could get some power behind that foot and just boot it about 90 yards?
Yeah, I can imagine that.
I bet you can. You know who else can?
Let me guess. Bruce? This mythical person?
Gosh, I miss Bruce.
He's not going to be mythical much longer.
Bruce isn't real hockey.
There are plenty of guys named Bruce.
No, they're not funnier than I am.
How do you know?
Because I know.
Bruce Valanche is funnier than you.
Bruce
Willis is funnier than you.
He knows what the kids think is funny.
I do. Why do you guys want me out of here?
I don't. I just miss Bruce.
I just like you would.
Thank you, man.
Competition brings out the best in anybody.
Why don't we bring in somebody who's an a-hole? Have him sit there and smart off to everybody.
I already have that unlocked.
That guy will be.
What's his name?
Keith.
Damn Dan. That'll guy be. Yeah, he'll be Damn.
The man. Oh, damn Dan.
Damn the man.
And then we'll bring in a guy who likes crappy 80s music who's in a band.
What's his name?
Mitchell. And Mitchell will sit over there and sass off. And then Damn the Damn Man will just. I hate that. That's stupid. Why don't we listen to that? Well, that TV show sucks. Well, it can't. Why? That's my opinion. That's not dumb.
Wow.
I like that guy.
I like
that guy. Sucks.
That guy's got standards.
I don't mind him a bit.
What's Mitchell sound like?
Hi, my name's Mitchell. Do you want to listen to some Tesla? I one time slept with a zero.
He did?
I'm into old people porn.
He is?
Yeah, that's Mitchell.
I love him. Yeah. We should party. That guy sounds like he'd be fun.
Just see, it hurts.
Bruce.
Just see.
At Power Trip Man. <Caravan. laughs> All right, more of the Power Trip Morning Show. I'm Corey. That's Ben. That's Sauce. That's Hawk. We're back after this on The Fan.
The Fan. Oh.
Good morning, everybody, from the Bryant Heating and Cooling Studios. The Power Trip Morning Show. Corey Kelb meets us, Paul Lambert, Bruce. My name is Chris Hockey, and the great Ben Lieber. We're all here.
Hey, back to my last question before we went to break about Daniel Carlson.
Yeah.
About how in videos that I've seen of him, he looks kind of like pretty thin.
Sure.
I can't tell if he's tall or not. A bunch of people on Twitter just mentioned he's 6'4", 223. That's the opposite of short, right? 6'4".
Yeah.
6'4", 223 is a gigantic person for a kicker, right? Kickers are normally like jockeys. That's a huge kicker.
That's a huge kicker.
So that kind of goes back to my accidental take on Karl Anthony Towns, right? Like, get somebody with a giant leg to swing it. Let's see how far we can bomb this thing. This dude's 6'4". Kai Forbath's like 4'6".
A little bigger than that, but not
much. He doesn't even
much.
Get to go on the big rides at Valley Fair.
Probably. On his tiptoes.
Come on, Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle.
What would Mitchell say?
Kyle runs the rides.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Kyle. Let Kai on there.
I don't know why he's like that. Ben, do you like roasts, Ben? And I don't mean like you eat them. I mean like people go and doing comedy shows where
they
roast each other.
I do. You
I
know,
kinda do too.
Yeah. Go ahead. I know where this is going.
Where's it going? Bruce. Yeah. Did
Back
you watch
to Bruce.
It at all?
No. But I'm curious to hear how it went. If you've got clips.
I've got some good stuff. And of course, Jeff Ross he's like the
roast master.
The roast master.
The
he
one guy was
great.
He passed, right?
Yeah. So he's not as good anymore.
What's his name?
I don't know who you're talking about. I mean, Ross, I think Ross has been the roast master for a long time, but
I'm not sure you know about either.
Greg Giraldo?
Yeah. He passed away, right?
Yeah, but I don't think he was a roast master, right? I think he was just part of the dais a lot.
Sorry.
Anyway, that's okay. Don't worry about it. But anyway, here's Jeff Ross and some of his best lines.
It's been great getting to know you and your lovely family, and I see I met Rumor, your daughter. Hi, Rumor. I guess that's the name your mom gives you when she's not 100% sure who your father is. Bruce.
Yes.
You've accomplished so much, buddy, but I think it will always be your blockbuster Armageddon that serves as the greatest metaphor for your career, because in the end, you got destroyed by The Rock. Us Jersey boys are raised to have thick skin. So I knew you'd be a great sport tonight, and I wish you continued success, good health, and I can't wait to see your next project, Die Hard 6, Natural Causes.
Genius!
That's pretty good. I thought, after listening to a lot of it, though, and again, I think it ran last night for the first time, but, you know, they'll run it over and over and over again like they always do on Comedy Central and such. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, of all people, who was in the movie Looper with Bruce Willis, which was a pretty good film, even though it was kind of weird the way they made his face try to make him look like Bruce Willis.
That was the worst part. Otherwise, it was a really clever movie. Yeah, but, man, it was hard to watch Joseph Gordon-Levitt with that weird kind of...
Yeah.
CGI makeup. I don't even know how they did it, but it was very distracting to make him look like a young Bruce Willis.
You just nailed it. Clever's the right word for what that movie was.
It was clever.
That's a clever film. And who would have known Joseph Gordon-Levitt would have a career, right?
He's killing it, man.
He's killing it. He's great. And he was pretty good last night. He was pretty good last night.
And it's not just action movies that made Bruce a star. He's actually a great dramatic actor, too. Like, I love The Sixth Sense. It's a great movie. And it's a really impressive performance. I don't know how you pretended not to be embarrassed while a 10-year-old kid acted circles around you, but you did it. And the ending, I did not see that twist coming. I mean, I shouldn't spoil it, but I mean, it's been like 20 years. It's so good. Okay, so at the end of The Sixth Sense, Bruce goes back to making movies. We want you to have a good time tonight, but don't get too comfortable up here because later we're going to be replacing you with Ashton Kutcher.
Oh.
Relax. Relax. Bruce gets along with him fine. He was even at Ashton and Demi's wedding. His gift was a toaster and $90 million.
So pretty good.
You can't be Bruce Willis in You're About to Get Roasted and not think that there's an Ashton Kutcher joke or two coming. That's the most obvious one, but that was still pretty well played.
It was good.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, of course, also famous for Third Rock from the Sun, which is a show I never really watched, but people said it was kind of nice back in the day with John Lithgow.
I did.
He also is very good in 10 Things I Hate About You.
This
is a movie I've seen way more than you three,
than
it sounds
anybody,
like.
I've think, never actually. Seen
Julia Stiles, Heath Ledger.
He's
that's
handsome.
Terrific. It's a really good movie, actually.
Well, yeah, no, but that's a good cast.
Have you seen that band?
Band?
I think I have, and I think I was caught off on how funny it was, if I'm thinking of the right movie.
Yeah, that movie's also clever. That's the one that's based on, I think, what, Shakespeare or something.
No kidding.
I forget which Shakespeare play. I'm not
Romeo
a big
and
Shakespeare.
Juliet?
No, I don't think so.
I'm not even 100%, no, I'm not even 100% sure.
It's not even the right film.
It was a modern play on it. And they quoted Shakespeare from time to time. Like, Heath Ledger's character's name was Patrick Verona. So there were a lot of, like, Shakespeare references in a modern high school bit. And it's the classic bit where, you know, there's some kind of arranged bid or a competition and there's a bet involved and Heath Ledger doesn't like Julia Stiles, but over the course of the film he falls in love with her.
Damn, you gave away the ending.
Meanwhile, the audience is falling in love with Heath because he's adorable.
Or just you.
This is pre-Joker too. That's when they announced, you know, Joker was going to be Heath Ledger. People thought Knight's Tale. People thought The Patriot. And I'm thinking, no, it's the dude from 10 Things I Hate About. Like, that guy's going to be the Joker? Doubted it big time.
Yeah. And
he was
awesome.
Incredible.
He was.
And now he's dead.
Yeah, he is. Too damn bad.
Seemed nice. Yeah.
He did.
He was a handsome human.
Speaking of dead, you guys familiar with Kurt Cobain? Apparently he was in a band called Nirvana.
Sure. No. Yeah, I saw it once.
Never heard of him.
This is a story that I feel even weird bringing up, just because there is very, very little traction on this so far. According to this story, there's about 4,000 people that have signed a Facebook kind of petition that say they would be interested in the event. And the event is there are people that are campaigning to get Nirvana back together. And replace, of course, Kurt Cobain, who's no longer with us.
Yeah, he can't. Yeah.
With Chad Kroeger of Nickelback.
What?
Really?
Say that again?
You heard me.
Okay.
All right.
So 4,000 people have signed it, which...
Not a lot.
Which means... Right, that's in the big scheme of things. Parrish has probably signed it 1,000 times. but Chad hasn't commented on it. Dave Grohl hasn't commented on it. I don't think anybody asked Chris Novoselic anything, so no one's got his comment on it yet either. So this is probably never going to happen, but there are people trying to make it happen with a petition.
The song wails so hard.
You guys' thoughts?
No.
That would be an absolute abomination.
Yeah. When the lights are out, it's a danger.
Santa. I'm going to tell you this right now. I like this song more now than I did when it was new.
Yeah, this song still gives me goosebumps.
It's great.
Or as Ben calls it, chicken skin.
I do not call it chicken skin.
Why would you say? Why do you say that about Ben?
I thought that was you that called it that.
I don't think I call it chicken
skin. Bruce would be paying attention. Bruce would have kept notes.
I thought it was you.
I think I've always said goosebumps.
Somebody says chicken skin.
It's definitely not him.
It's weird.
I've heard chicken skin. I may have used it once, but that's not really how I
reference it. You ever heard people say goose pimples? That's even worse.
Yeah, that's gross.
Hockey has goosebumps. Penis.
What? Yeah. There's a series of books called Goosebumps and movies.
Bruce wouldn't say dirty things.
It's not called chicken skin or goose pimples.
Goose pimples sounds like you just need to take a shower.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
You banged a goose.
Oily ass skin.
Ugh.
Or the baby goose.
Yucky.
Ugh.
Like to feel the baby goose's bumps.
So have you guys heard of this guy named Richard Cheese?
Yeah.
You know Richard Cheese?
Oh, yeah.
I was just introduced to Richard Cheese last night. And yes.
Where'd you meet him?
You know, at a club.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of dudes there.
Sure.
No, so a buddy of mine told me about Richard Cheese.
Had to be Scott Taylor.
No, it was a...
Yeah, that sounds like a Scott Taylor thing.
No. Yeah, I didn't realize that he crooned and like changed all these popular songs from art.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. You like it, really?
Didn't he do the Me So Horny bit that we used to play?
Oh, yeah, we used to play that bit.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
It's pretty genius.
It's good stuff. Good stuff. A lot of hits.
Great name.
I think he may sing this song too. I don't know.
The weird thing is that Chad Kroeger's range, is probably pretty close to perfect for Nirvana songs, but there's just something that feels wrong about that happening.
Yeah.
That would never happen, though, right?
I mean, it would never happen.
With the national, I feel like the national joke that it is Kroeger and his group, you would never want to take on an iconic band like Nirvana.
Right.
No, and if Nickelback wants to cover Smells Like Teen Spirit in concert, they have every right to do so, and my guess is it would probably be pretty good. Getting the band actually back together and just replacing Kurt with Chad is a horrific idea.
Is there a good option?
Doing that anyway.
Is there a good lead guy that could take over those vocals?
Never put that band back together.
But just think if they had to. Is there a good option? The guy from Green Day?
What?
No.
No.
Axl Rose.
Seal?
Got it. Dang.
Seal? Great point.
Dave who?
Dave Matthews.
No.
Dave Coulier?
How about Dave Draiman?
Dave Coulier's perfect.
What about Dave Draiman from Disturbed?
Yeah. What about Paul Simon?
That makes sense to me.
I think we're talking ourselves out of it. I think it's a horrible idea.
What about Will Chamberlain?
What if we just do Kurt Cobain hologram, right? You just play his vocals over a track. You let Dave Grohl and Chris Novoselic just play their actual instruments. Got Cobain hologram on stage, and that would work. I'd probably go see it.
Man, I like this band.
Never got to see Nirvana. I was too young, like 12 or 13 when Kurt died. What did he die in, 94?
Yeah, that's correct.
So I was 14-ish, 13 or 14. Mm-hmm. Damn it. One final segment of the Power Trip Morning Show with Ben Lieber, Meat Sauce, Chris Hawk, and I'm Corey Coben. This is the band.
Band called Zeal and Ardor, by the way, if you wonder who this is. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. It's the Power Trip. I've been dropping $100 tips at the Waffle House. Give my mama big a double wide. LeBron James finally broke his silence about going to Los Angeles. Here's what LeBron had to say.
And then on the other end, I'm moving to Los Angeles. This is kind of like a dream come true for me. You know, growing up, you know, I was a Cowboys fan, I was a Bulls fan, I was a Yankees fan, and I've always felt like that was like one of the historic franchises. And you look at the Lakers, you know, being able to play for a historic franchise, you know, with so much history. And now being able to partner with Magic Johnson, someone I kind of like, you know, looked up to when I was younger and wanted to make no-look passes like Magic, wanted to get on the break and be Showtime like Magic. And then for it to all come to fruition at this point, I think timing is everything.
How long are you going to talk?
So glad his dream finally came true.
Good for LeBron James.
You know, I mean,
yeah, it's about time. Yeah, he's only got $1 billion.
Yeah, right.
Which, think about that. I was thinking about that for perspective the other day, that, you know, we were talking about how when Facebook's stock tanked last week and Zuckerberg lost $17 or $18 billion in a day, which it's hard to wrap your head around what that even means, right? All of LeBron James's career, right? He is still not yet to exceed a billion, right? I believe in the next year or two or three, he's supposed to pass $1 billion in career earnings. We're talking almost 20 years of LeBron, and he's not at $1 billion.
Hmm.
And Zuckerberg lost $18 billion in one day.
Yeah.
Jeez.
18 LeBron careers he lost in a day.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot to put in perspective, yeah, like that.
Thank you. Speaking of a lot, I just showed the Sauce and Lieber this, and maybe we can get clickbait to post this when whenever he gets to work. Hawk, are you familiar with Robert Griffin III?
Sure.
He has a house for sale in Texas. It's $2.6 million. It's on the water, something called Lake Conroe.
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Seven bedrooms, seven baths.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm.
Private theater, game room, wine grotto, wet bar. We just watched the video. The house looks sick. Great view. $2.6 million. We were just talking about if you put that exact house on Lake Minnetonka, I can't even imagine what it would go for.
$10 million?
You get so much bang for your buck if you watch Chip and Joe and all those HGTV shows. You go down to the South, you can live like a king.
And in Texas, not paying taxes.
Man.
You don't pay taxes in Texas?
No state tax in Texas.
Why am I here?
Dude, you know, you're
Bruce
flush with,
outside.
Right, you know how you're flush with network funds?
Yeah.
Save up and buy a mansion for like $50,000 in Texas.
Sure, man, whatever.
You can't believe how far your money goes in the South.
So I'll put it in perspective here. So Conroe, Texas is north of Houston, right?
That's Google Maps.
Considerably north of Houston. So let's just say it's like, I know it's the opposite direction. Let's say it's like Prior Lake, right? Because this house is on a lake, Conroe Lake or whatever, right? So your comparison about Lake Minnetonka probably is not completely accurate, because that's the most popular lake in the metro
sure.
area.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you're going to pay a lot more for that. I'm guessing Conroe Lake is not the most popular lake in the Houston area.
And that's probably true, but you just can't believe that 2.6 buys you that house.
And he has a wine grotto. Yeah, if you have a grotto of any sorts, like, that's a big house, right?
Right.
What's a grotto?
Yes. I don't know. I always figured it was a place where people just make out.
Yeah, I thought it was an alley. Oh, like,
yeah.
It's an insurance salesman, like, from the office as
in
well.
The grotto.
Grotto, Iowa? Grotto. That's not it.
Don't they always say at the Playboy Mansion, you just don't talk about what happens in the grotto?
A grotto is a natural or artificial cave used by humans in both modern times and antiquity, and historically or prehistorically, naturally occurring grottos are often small caves near water that are usually flooded or liabled to flood at high tide.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When's Bruce getting here?
He's here already.
Oh, he's here already. Yeah, okay.
Can Bruce read?
Cave would be good for you.
Yeah, grotto with death devils, and it'd be good for you.
What?
Death devils.
Death devils.
Mm-hmm.
What, like, those Tasmanian devils?
Yeah, what do those do?
They poke you with their fire spears, which is their penis.
Wow. Hey, Ben.
Bruce would be better than me. Yeah.
Question for you, Ben.
Yes.
Mankato, you know, there was Gage Hall, and then there was another different hall, and there was walking here and riding your bike there, and there was, you know, going to Mankato and this, that, and the other, and that's where he did camp. And people sometimes complained about it when they were on the Vikings team, and I get it. Now they're in this beautiful facility down at TCO, and super awesome, looks great. They've got everything they could ever imagine. But is there any part of you that would miss going away for a couple of weeks?
Yeah.
I would think so, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, I think it's financially it makes sense for the team to stay in Eagan. But I think for a team to sort of bond and do that stuff, there's nothing like just being forced to go away to camp, you know, like a summer camp.
Yeah, stay in the dorm with the rest of the team. And did you always have a roommate?
Yeah, Greenway and I were roommates
the whole time. Yeah, right. Like, you guys could sleep together now, I guess, still, if you wanted to, but yeah, you don't have to anymore.
No, it got a little weird because we were the only group or roommates that just asked for one bed.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's good, though.
What was the game?
One bed.
What was the game? We just talked to Jared Allen about it. What was the game?
Yahtzee.
Yahtzee, right. You guys had a Yahtzee league.
That was 1 year, and then the year, we might have done it for 2 years. I know one solid year, it was Mario Kart on DS, mm-hmm. and everybody would link up via Bluetooth or however we did it. And so the multiple groups of eight playing during break time, on the bus, on the plane, that was our Fortnite. That was our deal. That was our jam. And that's that really helped us sort of bond. I mean, you have that downtime in a dorm where you're like, what do we do? Hey, let's play DS. Let's link up. Or play Yahtzee.
And you claim Greenway's the real deal at Mario Kart, right?
Yeah, he and Chris Cluey.
Shocking.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Cluey, like, mm-hmm. and that, I think that was the fun part. Like, Cluey was, I think, overall the best. And so you want to take down the dweeb that was like really good in that game and video games and stuff. So
more Viking stuff. Okay, is that cool with you?
Yeah, go for it.
Absolutely. Yeah, do you have more?
I have another question for you.
Oh, okay.
Tight end Kyle Rudolph thinks DeFilippo's offense is going to be specifically really a good fit for him. Do you agree?
Well, going back to DeFilippo's time with Cleveland and Gary Barnage and what they do, what they did in Philadelphia, and I know it wasn't his offense, but if he's going to take a lot of those same things, then yeah, their tight ends have a lot of success, a lot of targets, a lot of options. I believe that he will be split out a little bit more, which I think has led to a little bit of his weight loss. I don't know how many pounds he's down, but he definitely looks leaner and more trim. He did the year before. Probably won't help an already area of need of run blocking, but I think if you want to get more pass catching productivity, I think you're going to get it in this offense.
Didn't they say the same thing about Norv Turner's offense though too? Because he had
Antonio Gates and all that stuff. Yeah, I feel like there was a lot of issues being implemented that just didn't work out the way Norv wanted it to work out. So I'm not sure how much of that was scheme-specific or that was player execution-specific. We will see if Greg Olsen can do some good stuff down in Carolina under his offense. And maybe the Vikings were just the anomaly, or maybe Antonio Gates was just sort of special and they just had to give him the ball.
Well said.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
I think I know the answer to this, but just for clarification, Lee Valsvik just texted me and said, so do the Vikings get to go home every night after camp, or do they stay at the facility?
No, they would have to stay at the hotel. I'm not sure specifically what hotel. I do know that it is close to Egan. I imagine that during the course of the day, they're not going to mandate that they have to be either at the facility or the hotel. They're free to go. They want to see their family for an hour or two, go get lunch with their family, do whatever you need to, go run errands and stuff like that. You can in that break time from walkthrough into the 2:45 practice. I don't think you're going to have a ton of time to go run around and do that stuff. So I imagine a lot of guys will just hang out at the facility or the hotel. But I think the only thing they can mandate is bed check at night after meetings, and then they want them all to be in the hotel in the course of the night so there's no distractions and nobody's going out running the streets.
Really?
Get out there.
Yeah.
Right in the streets. Yeah. That's where the party's at.
Talking to me?
No, not you.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I don't go anywhere.
But I think this is what the rumor is. I think the plan is, not even the rumor, I think the plan is that once they get the hotel built on site at Egan, they will just hold all their stuff there. All the players will just stay there during training camp. Right. That's the way I believe.
Right.
It would be better if you just got a giant bunk room, right, where all of the players could stay together, sleeping bags. Right. If, like, Crater Industries tries to take over camp, then you can shoot a bunch of turtles at them with parachutes and Exeronius. There's a lot of ways out of
camp. So that kind of happened when I was with the Chargers.
What do you mean?
So
parachuting turtles.
No. The giant bunk room.
Mm-hmm.
So we did 2 years up in Carson, California, where they're kind of flirting with L.A., like moving to L.A. and telling the council of San Diego, hey, we're looking at moving. We're going to move training camp up there. So they did that for 2 years. And so Carson, our hotel was a little bit of a drive away from the StubHub Center. I don't even know if that's what they call it anymore, but that's what the Chargers play now currently. So during break time, they opened up this big room underneath the bowels of the stadium, and they darkened the room down. They brought in mattresses. There's lounge chairs and couches and TVs and stuff. And during break time, they just turned all the lights off, and guys would just sleep in there.
What?
And take naps.
Sounds incredible.
Yeah. So you just have to find like an open air mattress or something and just like lay down.
Oh.
But it was the best thing about it was super cold in there. It was awesome.
Oh my gosh.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah.
That sounds like heaven.
I want to be an NFL football player.
Just so you can take naps with
men. You take naps on air mattresses?
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds fun.
All the above.
last year, of course, Carrie Fisher died. You guys remember that?
Hold on one second. Hold on. Hold on. I'm starting the wrong page.
Tell me when to start over.
Say it again.
Do it again.
You guys remember last year when Carrie Fisher died?
Rosie, seriously.
Come on, man.
God.
Well, a lot of people were saying, well, what are they going to do for Star Wars 9? Well, now, after denials, Lucasfilm and Disney have reversed course. They are going to have Carrie Fisher be in Star Wars 9, but it's not going to be a new actress, and it's not going to be CG or CGI. It's not going to be a computer graphic character. It's going to be just extra footage that they have that they didn't use.
What?
Which, on paper, that sounds awful, but clearly they think they have enough footage where they can make it make sense, so they're going to use unused footage they shot from previous movies.
What do you think of that charge? Does that make sense to you?
I think it's a recipe for disaster.
Sounds
honestly.
Like C-3PO right now.
Yeah, hey, C-3PO.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Here we go.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, you're actually on air.
I thought he was kidding.
I thought that was a button bar.
No, he's down at training camp. It's he and Nordo right now.
I am at training camp right now. Nordo's right next to me. And, you know, they need to quit it with the whole Star Wars thing. It's gotten to the point we get a new movie every 6 months and nobody cares.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no anticipation. It's like the great thing about the NFL season is that it's got the long off season for you to get excited about football again. Unlike, say, hockey or baseball. And that's what they don't get with the Star Wars franchise. It's just, it's the relentlessness of it now is, to me, it's too much.
This is the best accidental bad communication between two broadcasts ever, because you sound so much like a Star Wars droid right now to us.
Do I really?
Yeah, the connection's not good, so you sound like you're a computer
Obi-Wan,
right now.
We need your help.
Yeah. You are full-blown C-3PO mode right now.
Our technician, Jared, is on it, and by on it, I mean he's shrugging. So that's we're working that right now.
Classic Jared move.
Classic Jared right there.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you guys got today?
We'll be looking for a lot of stuff today. We don't get the full blown practice in the morning while we're on. We'll get the walkthrough. So hard to get a ton from that, but a lot of great talkers. Offensive line without Sperano. What we want to see Kirk Cousins deliver over the course of this training camp. A couple of position battles, although not a lot. This team's mostly set. But we got a good nickel cornerback position battle. We got a kicker position battle. We'll talk a little. I think we'll get into some Viking contract stuff, too. Like, we got to get Steph Diggs done soon. Hmm. And the sooner the better.
You actually think they're going to get that done in camp? Or you think he wants to wait till the end of the season?
Well, I think he'd be smart to wait in a lot of ways, don't you?
I agree.
But if you can, he's going to be expensive either way. I think you should just not even. You know, I think you should just pay him market value now rather than try to pay him market value in February and March and hope that he doesn't sign with somebody else.
Mm. What do you do with Tony Barr?
If somebody's got to go, he might be the odd man out. And I don't, you know, we want to keep everybody. And there are scenarios where you can keep everybody, including Barr and Trey Waynes. But if I had to put him in order, I'd go Diggs, Waynes, Barr.
But if Barr's situation works out where he's now like a rush guy in nickel situations and he gets 9 sacks this year, he might have to pay him
a lot.
And somebody else might have to pay him a lot.
Right.
We might not be able to make that happen. But to have a solution at quarterback, a long-term solution at quarterback, that is a trade-off I will make every day.
Well said.
Charch, good luck with the communications there down at TCO, and good luck dealing with the walking embarrassment that is Eric Nordquist from KFAN. Good luck.
Wow.
He's right there.
Make sure he doesn't run away from you.
Keep him within arm's length.
And Jared Hart is hard at work improving the connection dusting our control board right now.
Is PA in the bathroom?
Yes.
Gentlemen?
He's squatting beside the perch.
That sounds right.
Sounds about right.
All right, thanks, Church.
Bye-bye.
See Ben, we'll see you on Thursday as
yes,
well.
Yes, guys, have a great week.
Power trip back tomorrow, 5:30 until 9. Church, next from TCO.
To listen back to a podcast of today's show, visit the Power Trip Morning Show channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.